Who's Afraid of September?
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling.
Welcome. Hi, Friday, and a little bit of snow flying. Mary Vanderbilt, are we okay traffic-wise?
Yeah, pretty quiet. It's Friday. I didn't see many flurries after I left my house.
It was snowing pretty
very
good.
Very light.
Yeah. No, it was snowing pretty good.
Oh,
yeah.
Slippery conditions?
No. Oh, I mean, that's what made the other day so goofy.
Today
was just the same. And everybody
ice.
Was fine.
It was black ice that day.
Why I got to make it black?
I don't know.
Unbelievable way. Lou's first call coming up. Also, David Curley from ABC News. Is that happening or not?
It is.
Okay. The MH370.
It is happening. Sorry.
The MH370 anniversary. The missing plane. The plane that just disappeared. 5-year anniversary. We'll talk to him about that. Bridget Gaynor's coming in because Friday. Bridget hangs out with us on Fridays. Dr. Kevin Most on pancreatic cancer after the Alex Trebek news this week. My friend Billy Gardell's in the studio later. Dean will be on talking about a big piece of news in the top 6 at 6 in just a second. All that coming up here on today's show, plus important news about this show, about this radio station. How's that for a tease? Let's get to the top 6 at 6.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the top 6 at 6, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Item number one, Marshall Brodeen has died. Marshall Brodeen, the actor who played Wizzo on Bozo, died yesterday from complications from Alzheimer's. He was 84. Nobody's a bigger clown than Dean Richards and a fan of the same. And Dean will be on later to talk about that. So we wish the Brodeen family and extended family all the best. And after we finish your tributes, then you can tell us what you really think about the character. I mean, then not the person, obviously.
As a kid, I was always a little scared of Wizzo.
No, don't see it yet. We're still
sorry.
In tribute phase.
I'm sorry.
Next, Paul Manafort got 47 months in prison for fraud, for stealing money from the American people, for cheating on his taxes, for playing with Ukrainian thugs.
What a guy.
A really bad guy, and 47 months in prison in a very bizarre sentence. I think you're going to get an OJ here. There's another sentencing coming up next week. You remember OJ was acquitted, and then he got 17 years? I think you're going to get the full boat next week when he's sentenced in Washington for other crimes. We shall see. Next. McHenry County Sheriff's Deputy Jacob Keltner shot and killed in the line of duty yesterday at the Rockford Hotel. Hours later, the suspect was arrested by Illinois police. Many are stepping up to talk about what a great guy Keltner was, what a great cop he was. And it's a terribly sad story. And then, Steve, are you standing by?
I'm standing by, yes.
We've got bizarre reception on our monitors here. Didn't we have a shooting downtown last night as well?
We did. We had a shooting at the River North Bar called Sound Bar. Two people were shot. One person was killed. And the investigation there is still ongoing.
And did the shooter get away?
I do not know that. I'm still reading up on that. I don't have that information in front of me right now. I'm just sitting down here.
Soundbar is a club in the Ontario Street area. Mm-hmm. It's that area.
It's the middle
near,
of the loop.
Nah, it's over by the Ohio.
It's just as you're exiting.
Yeah, the inner or the big whatever you call it.
The on ramp, off ramp, situation.
Area. But it's a club area that if you're down there at 2-3 o'clock in the morning. That can get very dangerous.
Are you talking about just west of where Sport Mart used to be, where all those clubs are?
Yes, yeah. That's exact.
One well, that's of the, pretty close, that's pretty close to downtown.
Is that by the old Excalibur?
Well, for us,
no, it's farther down.
Oh, further
that's
on.
Not downtown for that, Steve. For the guys out in the western suburb, yes, that might be downtown.
Anything,
generally.
Anything.
It's River
anything
North. It's
inside
North.
Of the Kennedy.
Yeah, right.
To us is downtown.
Yeah,
we don't go West Loop,
no, exactly,
South Loop.
Exactly. It's in east, south Lake Street Town?
226 West Ontario yeah. team. Let's just go with the old yeah, address.
It's a club road. It's there. A very sketchy area at times, especially at night, because it is such a corridor that you will get just the only people down there are people who are drinking who are going there to club.
Is that next to Mr. Beef?
It's right around the corner.
When I was at B96, yeah. I was in that corridor clubbing occasionally because that was part of our job.
Did you like Soundbar? Were you Soundbar?
It wasn't called Soundbar then. I'll find out the name.
I just love to be in that marketing meeting. What about Soundbar?
So here I have more information now. Okay. My computer was restarting, Steve, when you were talking to me earlier. But witnesses tell police somebody outside of the club opened fire. As people began leaving, a doorman was the person killed. Another person is hospitalized, and police are going through surveillance video now to try to find the shooter. So no shooter in custody right now.
Thanks for that. Next, Tony Preckwinkle and Lori Lightfoot punched out each other last night in a first debate for mayor. Pretty contentious. Pretty hot start. Lightfoot called Preckwinkle a liar. Preckwinkle called Lightfoot disrespectful. More to come. We got at least four scheduled debates and forums and other things they might be called.
In 2012, I was in that club. It was called Bevy when I was there. I have a photo.
There you go.
Bevy.
Bevy.
Kind of a name is Bevy.
Yeah.
What if we called it Bevy?
This is the crowd I was rolling with there. This plural of beverages.
Oh, yeah, look, there you go. Really. Yeah, look, you're the white girl.
Mary Vanderbilt knows why they call it Bevy. Can I get three Bevies?
Beverage.
Can I get an alcoholic Bevy?
Yeah.
Bevy's like slang for beverage? Because Bevy means a lot of something.
I'm going to say, get me a Bevy now. That's what I'm going with.
Mary, you may have changed my vernacular. I might be going into the next bar I go into. Two Bevies, please.
Did they have Zima? Because, you know, when I roll hard, I like to pop the Zima.
I'm going to get punched out.
I'm noticing I have not worn those earrings that I'm wearing in this picture since then.
Yeah, I'm the same way about these pants. Next. Blackhawks started their final run here. We've got 15 to go. How'd they do last night, Carms?
They won, Steve. It was a little dicey. They were up early, then trailed going to third, but beat the Sabres 5-4. And shootout, big night for Patrick Kane, passing Steve Larmer. He's now fourth all-time on the Blackhawks point list. A couple games to go for Kane.
Are we at the point, though, with the Blackhawks that they have to win? They got to stop this overtime shootout.
Yep.
Stuff.
Well,
they got to win outright.
Well, it depends on who gets the other point.
The Wild won last night, so they actually lost ground on them, right?
No, same. 9 points. Could you get the two?
Yeah.
You give up the one, and you give up the one to Buffalo, Buffalo's in the East.
They play the Stars on Saturday. That was a game that they need to win and not win a shootout. Yeah.
But to your point, Justin, my husband always says it's a 3-2 league, and so you should win 3-2. You shouldn't have to score seven goals to win.
Well,
so
we're not getting picky now.
Yeah. Also, Sean Paul performed the night I was at Bevy.
Hey, everybody, have some Bevies.
Sean Paul called and wondered why you haven't worn the earrings.
So, honestly, the biggest thing going on with the Hawks right now, because let's be real here, it's all about making money in life. Steve, have you been how's your gambling over there?
How's my gambling? Pretty strong. I spend most of my money gambling.
So 16th time in a row now, you say it's a 3-2 league, Mary. That's how they make the betting odds. For the 16th time in a row, the Blackhawks have gone over in 23 of the last 24. If you are playing the Blackhawks over the last couple of months, you are getting very fat in the wallet.
Yeah. Over meaning the bet is that it's going to be over a particular number.
You're right. So they'll say seven goals. Hawks are going 8, 9, 10. Like last night was 9. Right. The over's been
hitting. Why they're scoring more.
Right, they're going
to make cover the over.
Yeah, okay. 620, we're back with Lou. If you want to be the first caller, 312-981-7200 next. I'm sure you got some house troubles you'd like to talk about. Lou, after this.
That's it!
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show for Lou's First Call.
Good morning, Lou.
Good morning, sir.
How are you today?
I am fantastic.
Let's get the plugs out of the way. You're on TV in a few minutes.
I am.
And what are you talking about?
Stains in your carpeting and or fabric and how to get them out without ruining the fabric.
Okay. Tomorrow on the radio?
7 to 10 a.m.
All right.
I know we need a caller, Steve.
312-981-7200.
Are you going to say white wine to get the stains out of the carpet?
Am I going to say white wine? No.
Oh, okay. Because white wine is great for getting red wine out of your carpet.
So white wine is great for drinking when you run out of red. That's my rule.
So we'll get to that in a second. How are you?
I'm great.
What's going on?
I was in Jamaica last week with
Why?
My lovely wife.
Oh, vacation.
Vacation.
No, and, I thought maybe you're opening up a southern office.
Right. What's interesting, have you ever been to Jamaica?
I have.
They drive on the wrong side of the road.
Yes, they do.
One of the things that brought me back to my childhood was they are full of Texaco stations.
Mm-hmm.
My father owned a Texaco station.
No, no kidding.
There's
know
no
that.
Texaco stations no. anymore.
I didn't know that.
The U.S. as far as I'm...
Was Bob Hope there?
I did not see Bob Hope.
You know, he's a big Texaco
you can trust
guy.
Your car with the man who wears the star.
Did you work at the Texaco station your dad owned, or were you not old enough?
Oh, no, I did. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that was back in the day where, you know, you remember when... This is the thing that you have to be a certain age. Remember the sound when you used to drive into a
ding,
gas
ding.
Station? Yep, ding, ding. Nobody knows what that is anymore.
Yep.
And,
it's like a busy signal on the phone. You just don't hear it.
And I would run out there, and I would. They'd say, fill it up with Ethel.
Yeah, well, my dad would pull in, and he'd go $2. And at the time, it seemed perfectly normal, because $2 was like 5 gallons of gas, 10 gallons, whatever the number was.
I can remember in the early 70s, people complaining to go, to tell your dad, because they knew I was his son.
Mm-hmm.
This is ridiculous how expensive this gas is. And I can specifically remember that a gallon of Ethel, which was premium, was 54 cents a gallon.
54 cents.
Yeah.
Okay, yesterday I had to gas up in the, your White Lightning.
Mm.
And, you know, the gas stations directly across the street are generally the exact same price or maybe a penny apart.
Right.
I pulled in this particular gas station. It was $3.29 for regular. This is in the burbs.
Wow.
$3.29 for regular or $2.29 if you do a car wash.
Nah. Right.
Oh, I always
that
the car wash.
That is car wash blackmail.
Yeah.
Right across the street.
That's the
was
gas station. It's probably less than the
yeah,
gas
exactly.
Company,
right across the street was $2.29.
Yeah. Was your car dirty?
Not dirty enough to do that. So I pulled out one across the street. It's a stupid marketing move. All right, let's see. Maureen is on the phone from Jefferson Park. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning, everybody.
Are you headed to work?
I am. Unfortunately, I am. Yes, and I'm just passing Lou's store.
Oh, well, wave to it.
Give a toot.
Yeah.
I did.
It's Friday, Maureen. It's so you're almost there. What do you do?
I work for the Auto Barn in Evanston, car dealership.
Okay. All right. And are you a salesperson?
God forbid. No.
God forbid. Okay.
I work in the office. Yeah.
All right. You run the place, in other words. All right, Maureen. What is your issue, and how can Lou help you?
We have a typical, I think, I know, it seems, alley in the back of our house. And when the weather changes, the cement heaves. And my husband spends all hours out there pumping water to keep it out of our backyard and out of the garage. Any suggestions on how to fix this? Not major, hopefully, but because he puts like cement down there, asphalt. He does all kinds of things, and it still does it every year.
She doesn't want heaving, Lou. What does she do?
Well, if the backyard is filling up with water because of kind of the topography of the neighborhood. I mean, one of the things you may want to consider is digging an exterior pit. Landscapers can do this, or your husband, if he's handy enough, wants to do this. You can buy these pits, like a sump pump pit, and put it in the backyard. These things have holes on the side of them, almost like a sieve, like a strainer that you would put if you're putting spaghetti in when you're cooking.
And don't make spaghetti in your yard.
No,
it's not healthy.
But you're going to drop that pit into the low spot of the yard and then put a sump pump in there that, if it's deep enough, you could pipe that into the alley, assuming that you can get that and there's a place for the water to drain. And if you remove some of that water that is underneath there, that heaving, you could probably solve the problem and make it a more permanent fix that your husband doesn't have to go out there with a pump and put it in the grass and then it, tips over or it doesn't suck it all
out.
The
old yard sump pump, Maureen.
Yeah, it really does work.
Okay, that's a good. We've never thought of putting something in the yard, so that should be something to think about. Good.
There you go.
Thank you very much.
All right, we're going to give you a desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. 60-Minute Man, 855-955-HVAC. Anybody on the staff have a question before we throw Lou off the show?
I do not. I'm just telling you, Lou, for your next segment, white wine takes out red wine.
Mm. White wine takes out red wine.
Yep.
You know, the thing is, the reason that I don't like to give that tip, Mary, is that we don't sell white wine at the Ace.
I know.
I know.
But I was there yesterday buying my great cards.
I always just go in there to buy cards, Lou. And
those are
love
funny
them.
Cards.
They
right?
are hilarious you. Cards.
Right. They're so funny,
Bill,
Mary,
Bill
that I'm married to the co-owner of the hardware store, that we give each other those cards, and we know darn well they come from the hardware store, but they're
great.
Funny.
That's great.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, they're good. And they're cheaper than the ones that you buy at other places.
My favorite one is the lady. It's the older couple that are at they're at the sink, and they're both in their, like, he's in his boxers.
Oh, yeah.
And she's squeezing his rear end, and it's a funny little
It's an anniversary
line.
Card.
It's an anniversary
I almost
card.
Bought it yesterday.
By the way,
it's
a new feature we're trying where Lou tries to explain a very visual greeting card.
An older couple, he's in his boxers.
I got it.
She's by the way, squeezing his bum.
By the way, Lou, we just received word that if you crush grapes into a carpet, that'll make you forget about whatever stain was there.
Absolutely, okay. Right. And if you drink enough red wine, you'll be asleep.
See, get drunk and forget about your problems. Have a good weekend.
Love you.
Love you. Thanks. Back. 6:31. Headlines are next.
It's business time. It's business. It's business time. I don't know what you're trying to say. You're trying to say it's time for business. It's business time. Ooh, it's business. It's business.
Big announcement about this show coming up, but first at 6:41, Justin, this guest and this thing sounds like, is this Tinder for money?
It is. We're all familiar with dating apps. Swipe right has become a fluent part of our vocabulary. But what if an investor, what if you were an investor and you wanted to swipe right on a new startup? Could this be the future of business funding and really an easy future? Well, that's a new idea from a group of students at the University of Chicago. Their new app is called The Crowd, and it hopes to connect investors with entrepreneurs. Max Segrew is one of the minds behind the startup, and that helps startups, and he joins us now. Max, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it. You there?
Yeah. Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, gotcha. So tell us about this. Tell about where this idea comes from.
So this is really an idea that solves two problems. So on the first hand, it allows people to find the best new business ideas faster than really ever before, and it allows anyone with an idea to bring to market for it to be evaluated by really anybody. So if it's a great idea, it'll attract new resources and it'll attract new funding. But the real advantage is that it pulls down the barriers that were previously there. So it doesn't really matter whether you're from New York City or Kansas City. It doesn't really matter if you know the right people anymore. If you have a great idea, now you can get into all the boardrooms that you were previously unavailable to. You can get into all the offices. You can get in front of all the right people that have the means to get your idea to the next step. And we can do all this for free.
Max, we do this segment. It's called The Download in Chicago Business. It's sponsored by Signature Bank. And in it, all the time, I seem to be talking to entrepreneurs that really are disrupting their businesses. So the question I have for you is, what is this disrupting? Is this disrupting the way that startups are done, or is it disrupting the way investing is done? Take us through that.
Well, it's really both. So on the investor side, the real problem is that people take too long to find the next investments, and oftentimes they're not really the investments you're looking for. You can spend hours looking through pitch decks, and you can spend hours looking through different companies, but at the end of the day, you're not really sure if the company that you're going to be investing in is the right one. And from the entrepreneur side, what you're really looking for is strategic partnerships and people that can help you get to the next level. So what we're really disrupting is sort of a stagnant venture capital industry that has really taken too much time to get to where it is today. And what we're hoping to do is to help everyone in the process and sort of revolutionize that field.
Yeah, it's interesting because when you think about, and I haven't been through this process, but knowing enough about how investors interact with entrepreneurs, there are a lot of meetings, there are a lot of pitches. As you mentioned, pitch decks. There are so many things that you have to go through to just get to the point where someone's investing in a business. So this does simplify that, but does it simplify it too much?
Well, we don't think so. So the way the platform works is, as an entrepreneur, you go to our website, thecrowd.net, and you can upload a one-minute pitch video of yourself. You set up your account. You can enter a bunch of different verticals that investors can find you much more easily. And then from the investor side, you can log on to our app, which is, if you go to the App Store, the Crowd app. And from there, you can swipe on videos. And if you swipe right on a video, you show that you are interested in starting a relationship with them. And from there, you can enter into a direct dialogue with the company. And we've had some really great things come out of this. So, for example, we've had a company called ShiftRide recently that is essentially Airbnb for cars. So you have a car, you can rent it to your local neighborhood and whatnot. And an investor in Italy actually found this and found a new application for it there. So in the used car market, obviously companies or dealerships have increased huge inventories. And so this has actually been applied to those, that you can start to get rid of inventory and use inventory that's just been sitting around idly for a long time.
And now, Max, what's the vetting process, I guess, similar to a dating app, to make sure you're a real person and not a predator, you know, that these guys are actually putting together a real business and they're not just going to take funds to...
Anyone who's familiar with a dating app, every third person is some sort of a creep. So how do you make sure that the startups aren't creeps,
you know?
I guess is the question, right?
Yeah, so right now we're keeping everything free. We're keeping everything very open for everyone. We don't want to limit the barriers of entry. We want to take them down. So right now, anyone can log on, and anyone can set a relationship, and it's really up to investors to do the due diligence process and whatnot. We're really the connectors between the two.
Okay, gotcha.
Max, you in doing this app, you are a startup. So going through the process of creating a business and trying to find everything that you're offering up for investors and entrepreneurs, this is similar, right? You've gone through this. So what are the challenges of being a startup in any form, but in this form in particular?
Yeah, so... I guess we're very fortunate because we have an incredible team, but a lot of startups don't have that. They don't have the resources to reach out and stuff like that, which is, of course, the reason why the crowd exists, is to link people. But the fact that we've had an incredible team has been world-changing to us. Also, we're very fortunate that we're in Chicago because there are so many great ideas here. We have such an incredible market and such an incredible talent base here that we can draw from, and incredible entrepreneurs. So, for example, we have these two upcoming shows, so we launch shows for the crowd as well. So we just had, for example, the former Staples CEO. We just had the former Costco CFO on and people like that. And what they do is they live review companies. And on March 24th, we're going to have an all-female show. And then on March 31st, we're going to have a show for Chicago's Best. And we can only do that because there's such an incredible startup community here.
So I was going to ask about the live reviewing with these top entrepreneurs. It kind of reminds me of Shark Tank a little, like where they're doing it. Do they, at the end of these live ones, do then they say, hey, now I'm going to invest in your company, or is it just simply a review show?
No, they can definitely invest. So what we have now is we have about 35 companies on the platform. We just launched about a month and a half ago. We have about 35 companies on, and between those two groups, there's been about $800,000 in funding that's gone on thus far.
Wow.
So things are looking good.
Max, the final question for you here just is, you're a student at the University of Chicago. This is taking off as you're doing shows, and like you just mentioned, Staples CEOs and Costco and other companies that you're engaging in. I would imagine this is becoming a full-time gig. How do you balance starting a project like this, and being an entrepreneur yourself, and continuing to be a student?
Well, it's definitely a struggle, but I just like to take a moment and thank a team that's been incredible in helping us do all these things at the same time. We have incredible resources down here at the Polsky Center for Entrepreneurship as well, down here at the university. And between those two things, we've been able to manage everything. So, thankfully, things have gone well.
All right. Sounds good. Max Segrou is one of the guys behind the new app, The Crowd, which connects entrepreneurs and startups. And he's our guest today on Download in Chicago Business, sponsored by Signature Bank.
The Malaysia Air 777 was just 2 hours into its flight when the airline announced it had lost radar contact with the jetliner. This jet took off from Kuala Lumpur on its way to Beijing. It was supposed to land 4 hours ago in the Chinese capital. One report suggests that the loss of contact came over the airspace of Vietnam.
It's my friend David Curley, senior transportation correspondent at ABC News. Amazingly, it's been 5 years since MH370 disappeared. Good morning, David.
It just gave me chills hearing myself say that.
How about that?
5 years ago, Steve.
5 years. Now, it spawned a network TV series. It spawned a million questions. But what do we know today that we didn't know then?
We know that the aircraft is most likely still in the South Indian Ocean. We know that there have been two efforts to find it. We know that the data we got from it pinging satellites gave us a general idea, but not a specific idea. We don't know where it is. We don't know exactly what happened to it. There are a lot of theories, and everything from mechanical to intentional. But something really important has happened since then, Steve, and that is at the time, everybody asks, why can't we track these jetliners over oceans? Why can't we, you know, do it? And they said, well, satellite time is so expensive, you couldn't do this. And 5 years later, here we are, and we are very close to tracking every jetliner around the world, at least knowing where it is. There's even one effort to make a transmittable black box. So there would be a black box that could actually, if something was going wrong, would burp out all its data and send it down to Earth. So if the plane disappeared, we'd know something right away about it.
Yeah, it is crazy. And, of course, the regular folks like us, we didn't know that you didn't know where every plane was at every minute of its flight.
Yeah, and remarkable that we didn't know. We also didn't know that planes talk so much with satellites about engines and what's going on with the aircraft while it's in air. But a number of companies have come up with some really good technology, and in the coming years, just about, we'll know where just about every aircraft is that's flying around the world.
Isn't it true that you can still hear a plane's ping after it crashes in the ocean or the sea, depending on the depth of the crash?
So it's the black boxes have on them, if you ever look at a black box and have interest, like I study them.
Right.
There's this kind of cylindrical piece on the end, which is what we call a pinger. Mm-hmm. It's a transmitter. And once there's a crash or it hits water, that thing starts pinging, sending out a signal. It's supposed to last for 30 days. That's the requirement. Many of them go much longer than that. So if it's in the water, yes, you can hear it, even at extreme depths. But don't forget, we didn't get to the MH370 area until we were getting close to that 30-day window running out, and they didn't know exactly where to listen either. And this most recent crash that we just had in Texas off of Houston, where 767 went down into a bay, which is really more of a marsh, the pingers were buried in feet of mud, and so they couldn't really hear the pingers that way. They actually found both of those black boxes just by walking through the debris field and going through the muck, and found the two boxes and are now here in D.C. being read out.
David, in the 5 years since the crash, what have we learned about how we deal with, and not we, but how governments deal with families and with the with obviously talking about what happened with the crash? Because that was a big part of this, that it just seemed very disorganized, and there were a lot of different governments involved, and a lot of the victims' families were very upset and disrespected by what happened.
They still are. They're still concerned that another search is not underway for their loved ones and their final resting place. So this was a Malaysian flight. So the Malaysians are in charge of the investigation. Most of those on board were Chinese. It was a flight from Kuala Lumpur to Beijing. So the Chinese government was very upset about this for a long time. And it is a difficult dance. There are rules and regulations. There's basically an international, it's out of the UN, it's called ICAO, I-C-A-O. ICAO is in charge of setting the standards that everybody's supposed to follow. It doesn't always run smoothly. And the families, I mean, I still get emails from their group concerned that nothing is being done in their minds right now to find this aircraft and their loved ones.
David Curley, senior transportation correspondent at ABC News. You got a SpaceX story coming up this morning on GMA.
Watching it right now. They already undocked. We're waiting for splashdown.
Oh, cool. Well,
this is huge, man. This is a new era in space travel. This, you should get excited about this.
Well, when
Call
you
me
and
up
I,
some other time. Let's talk about space.
When you and I were playing golf, we always talked about going to the moon together, having a nice picnic. I don't know what you're, you know, I mean, it seems like we're getting closer.
Yeah, I think before our golf games come to an end, I think we've got a shot at it.
All right, last question. Look, as a journalist, opinions are not as important as the facts you come up with. But, yeah, I don't care. I'm going to ask an opinion question. You know this business inside out. Is your gut feel, after all the work you've done on this story, that this was a fluke or that this was intended?
The latter.
Yeah. I mean, it's the only explanation, right?
It's one that I listen. Here are the facts, and then you can draw your own conclusion from it. They take off, headed toward Beijing. They get to the handoff from Kuala Lumpur to the Vietnamese controllers. During that handoff, all of a sudden, two critical systems on the aircraft are shut off. The locator beacon shut that off. also the transmission of aircraft data. It's called ACAR system. Both of those intentionally shut off. Then the aircraft does a 180 and starts heading south. Then it goes right up the Malacca, Strait of Malacca, right in a place where nobody would really notice. They might see it on radar, but that's a traffic pattern that somebody would use. And then a left turn south into the Indian Ocean. But the aircraft did not do that on its own.
It's David Curley, SpaceX Story this morning. Thank you for the time, my friend.
Always great to talk to you, Steve.
Take care, and we're back after this. Steve will be in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom in moments.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
Dean just got called to a TV assignment. I'm sure he's working more on the Marshall Brodeen stuff. Marshall Brodeen, Wizzo, passes away. I believe he was 84 years old. Complications from Alzheimer's. And Dean will talk about it, obviously, in a regular more on entertainment segment after 8 o'clock. Carm, do you have no recollection of Wizzo?
No, Steve, I do. I went to, as a kid, good old WGN-TV and saw the circus, the whole thing. And
but you never did the bucket game? You never got picked?
I didn't get picked, but I, you know.
It's called Bozo Buckets.
Right.
The bucket game, so we're all clear.
I thought that Wizzo worked here for many years. I thought he was over in engineering. No, that wasn't him.
No, that's a different guy.
Okay. They were very close.
Sam,
wasn't the grand prize game? Wasn't that what they called it?
The grand prize game.
Sandberg, it scared you? Wizzo scared
Wizzo
you?
Wizzo always scared me. And he always would do noonie, 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 noonie. And
was it noonie, noonie? I thought it was hootie hoo.
No, well, I don't know. Noonie, noonie.
Noonie, noonie.
He did magic, kind of, right, Mayor?
Yeah.
Like and that was the noise he would make, and it always made me uncomfortable. But I don't want to, you know, I know on the day of his passing.
Yeah, there's no mocking.
But
this
is childhood memory, you know. Am I the only person that may have been a little bit scared of clowns in general? I'm not supposed to say that, though, because I work at WGN and Wizzo was a clown.
No. Bob Collins was famously frightened by clowns.
Okay,
a lot of people are afraid of clowns.
But I did like the... No.
I wonder why it was frightening.
See? That sounds scary. I forgot about the scary music.
But he was not
a
clown. He was a wizard.
Yeah, he's supposed to be a wizard.
Okay, so maybe you're afraid of wizards.
I'm afraid of wizards.
I think good, because it's narrower.
Yeah, it is narrower.
There's less wizards in the world. Did you, Bridget Gaynor, did you play the game?
Absolutely. I think my mom put in for tickets when I was born. And then all my cousins and sisters and I went up to WGN and made the big trek up north. You felt like you were really making a big, big move, driving up north to the WGN studios. Yeah, I remember it. I played the
Did you win?
No, but I got a box of malted milk balls.
Oh,
like
a win.
Like a milk carton box of malted milk balls.
You're a little kid. That's a huge win.
Yeah. I've forgotten many more things than that in my life, but that's still
now. I don't want to ruin this for you and tell you there was a closet filled with cartons of malted milk balls for years.
Didn't
but,
matter to me. There wasn't a closet in our house filled with malted milk balls, so I was good.
Right?
Yeah.
Bridget Gaynor's here, and we can talk about the mayor and stuff later.
Anybody remember Phil Donahue when you were in line and being terrified of him? Because like the Donahue show was across the hall. No one remembers that?
Are we just talking about what
you were afraid of Donahue?
Well, hold Wizards on a second. And Donahue?
Hold on. You were afraid of Donahue?
I was afraid that we were in that somehow I wasn't going to get to go to the Bozo Circus.
Oh, you thought you were in the wrong line.
Yeah, and I'd be going to Donahue.
God, would that be the ultimate psych for a kid? We're going to Bozo's. We're going to hear people talk about their marriage.
A texter from the 773 also says, scared the hell out of me. So, that's it. Who's doing that? That's it. That noise. Is that you?
No.
That was Joe Ramon.
It's nobody.
That is a scary
idea. Yeah, it's nobody.
Shouldn't I think texters say it was duty, 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 duty.
Oh, what did I say? Woonie, woonie?
I mean, Star of Zanzibar.
Well, you better get it right because Dean's on in an hour and this is church for him.
Yeah, I'm going to tap out when he talks about it because he'll get mad at me.
Oh, yeah.
So, Bridget, when you found out you were going to play the grand prize game. Is it the greatest day of a kid's life? Are you nervous?
I was very nervous.
How old are you then?
I think I was six.
Do you find out in time to practice?
No.
Oh.
They pull you from the audience.
But did you ever practice at home? Because my sister and I, we would practice with Dixie cups.
We did practice at home,
because
now that I think about
we
this.
Thought if we got good at throwing it in a small hole, when we got there and had the real bucket size, we'd be like, we'll nail this.
Yeah, it's putting the donut on the back.
Yeah, but half the time the Dixie cups would just fall over because the weight of the ping pong ball, we didn't have the physics down quite yet.
You know, it's funny. I mean, this is a lot like the traveling gypsy throw a dime on a plate game that we used to play at summer carnivals. No, no, no. Right, I'm sorry. That was a scam. This was good for kids. No. It's completely different.
There were no malted milk balls at the carnival.
No, there were not. No, yeah, there were not. Did you share your malted milk balls with your siblings?
I remember driving home in the back seat and thinking to myself, I'm never going to get all the way home without sharing some of them. So preemptively doing a little sharing so it wouldn't have been mandated.
Look at you. Yeah. Even then, strategy.
Even then, strategizing to how to keep more for myself.
Yeah, about that. 713 MVPP coming up. And again, Dean on this in about an hour. Did you watch any of the mayoral throwdown last night?
I did.
Were you there?
Were you also scared of that, yeah. Mary? Because that should scare you.
Were you there last night?
I wasn't there, but I saw it on TV.
Okay. And your thoughts? Now, keep in mind that I know you support Preckwinkle, yeah. But your thoughts on how it went?
Look, you know, I appreciated two things about it. One, nobody likes when there's the back and forth bickering, but they have a lot of differences, and it's going to be a really contentious campaign. I always remember there was a debate, I think it was Dan Hines and Quinn, where one of them couldn't say something good about the other one. Mm-hmm. And I always think to myself, just have something ready. It doesn't have to be true.
Yeah, because like you know the question's going to come.
You know the question's going to come. So they both answered that, which I thought was fine. Mm-hmm. Look, it's splitting up to be experience versus change. And do you want, you know, just turn the page and have a whole new day? Or do you want someone who knows how to run a railroad? So, but it's going to get, I think, this one is they both have some personal animosity.
I would advise, because I know she listens to me, candidate Preckwinkle to not get on the respect high horse too often, because it looks like a pat on the head to Lori Lightfoot. I don't think that plays well.
Yeah. I think none of the bickering stuff plays well, mm-hmm. generally speaking, because it's a big job, and being measured and the temperament stuff is, I think, it matters.
Do you have a feeling on which way Willie Wilson's going to go today?
I think he's going to go towards Lori Lightfoot is what I have
is that right?
heard.
Uh-huh. What's a big deal?
It is a big deal. He won a lot. I mean, the interesting thing about it, it's kind of like Jerry Joyce. They were really popular among the people who voted for them because mm-hmm. there was attributes of their personalness that people liked. Mm-hmm. The question is, will people follow them to vote for someone else, or did they just say, I like you.
Right.
I get a pass because I get two votes, so I'm going to vote for you this time, and then I'm going to make another decision next time. So whether he moves people is another story.
Are those endorsements a creature of the media? Are we putting too much on who we think a candidate who lost in the election is going to say you should vote for?
Unless a candidate has an organization that they put out on the street. So, like, labor union endorsements matter because they put people out on the street and they write checks. Or you have a candidate who's going to write a check to somebody. So if Willie Wilson's going to write a big check to someone, then that matters. I don't know if someone's force of personality, unless they're a celebrity or a massive other following, really matters altogether that much.
I know this is difficult to do because it's not the case, but Steve, when you said Tony should not use that respect thing because it's like a pat on the head, if these were two male candidates and one of the male candidates was saying that, you would say the same thing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I feel like the review of their debate, I was not there because I was at a basketball, or did not watch because I was at Patrick's
championship
game, which they won.
Is that his first trophy?
It is not his first trophy, but last year...
Is that his
year,
first legitimate trophy, not a participation trophy?
Oh, no. His hockey team won 2 years ago, but last year his basketball team did not win one game.
Oh, wow. Nice
so they went from, as Justin nice put it, worst to
worst
first.
Worst to first.
And we beat the best team.
Yeah.
A collection of parents that are very unlikable on this other team, that are very outwardly calling sixth grade basketball, complaining about the refs and things like that. So it was really,
nothing better than that.
Sounds like
nothing
a rumble to me. Yeah. Sounds like a rumble in the lobby.
But I felt like the review of the debate, it's different than if it was two male candidates is what when I was reading
I don't know
morning.
I think that's the problem, but I don't know that that's the case, because when I talk about the respect thing, Tony Preckwinkle clearly has a mountain more experience.
Yeah.
So talk about the experience. Don't talk about how you're not respected, because you're not respected. Look, what's the stupid cliche? This ain't beanbags.
Yeah.
So get off that train and get on the experience train. I think that's the only the path.
Look, I agree. I mean, we had this conversation before. There are measurable things that are different since she's been at the board, and you can talk about them. There was 10,000 people in county jail, and now there's 6,000. So is the number the right number to reduce it by 4,000 or 3? Who knows? But it's not zero, because there was a lot of nonviolent people in jail who didn't have the money for bond. And that was changed through a painstaking years of changing this bureaucracy. And knowing how to change a system is so hard. And at the city, whether it's the building code or CPS or whatever, you've got to change some of these systems, and that is really hard. So I think you're right. The message of being ready on day one, I think, is a compelling one. But I think Mary's got a point. People always, and I watch it with these presidential candidates too, like Amy Klobuchar. She's had 200 staff people over the last decade, and four of them come out and say she was mean to me. Mm-hmm. And you want to say, well, she's not your mom, mm-hmm. you know, and
she's your boss.
She's your boss. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure there are elected officials in Chicago that will go unnamed that people have PTSD after working at, but they mm-hmm. don't, you know, we don't have a hand wringing exercise about it.
So, by the way, we'd like to take those calls at any time. I have one last thing on politics, and I'll get off this horse. Speaking of horses, graduated.
Speaking of horses?
Yeah, I was anyway. The graduated tax program,
oh boy,
the potential tax increases that the governor brought up and put them to numbers yesterday. I'm going to ask a question that everybody driving to work wants to know.
Yeah.
Why would we give Springfield more money for anything? Because they have proven again and again they don't know how to spend it. There's nothing in here about cutting spending significantly.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about spending more money and taking more money in taxes. When does it end?
Well, I mean, and this is why I think whenever you do a budget, you have to show the things you're going to do first,
right,
and then you ask for the revenue. The numbers were high. I will tell you, I was surprised at some of the number, you know, where it got to
795.
I think that it's a legit question, and nobody doubts that we have a pension issue, and nobody doubts that,
sure,
like, you know, states around us have a higher income tax, and it's there's a thousand arguments to make, but you got to give people a roadmap to say, yes, you can trust me. Yes, you voted for me. But we're a blue state, and the Democrat won, and we had a highly unpopular governor before. So, of course, there was going to be change. The question is, what are you going to do with that change in a specific and tactical manner?
Yeah.
And I'm sure they have the answers to those questions. The thing is, you just got to put it out there at the same time.
Didn't Pritzker run on this concept, though? The only thing that's stark is that they thought there'd be a little bit more compromise in his plan. I mean, when you're talking about that tax rate, you're talking about millionaires that he's going after, because anyone under $250,000, he's talking about a tax cut. So,
yeah.
So it's optics in a way that, are we going to hear more, you know, rich people get mad and start saying, you know, I can't believe that he's spending money, when it really is what he ran on.
Right. And look, just because this is the first offer doesn't mean it's where we're going to land. I think there probably will be a lot more compromise. But you have to make your first gambit, and then people come back. And I'm sure that they have plans ready to go, so that when the pushback comes, you can start to say, OK, well, if you don't want to pay, what is it that you want to lose? So, you know, I mean, I think, yeah, the state supports a lot of infrastructure people don't see, but you still got to pay for it.
Yeah. A couple of textures, 920, 1965, morning, kindergarten, home for lunch, Bozo Circus, then a nap. Life was good. 630, I went to Bozo as a kid. Can only remember getting a big bag of Starburst. Were they sponsored by Sugar? Between your malted milk balls and the Starburst?
This is called the double bonus whammy round. This is where the cash gets stinkier, sweatier, greasier, funkier, funner.
Go on, take the money and run. Go on, take the money and run.
Go on, you ever read the terms and conditions on anything?
Nope.
There's a Georgia teacher who does, in the prime example of why it pays to read the fine print. And my opinion is, this individual ought to be the person that reads all of our fine print. How are you this morning?
I'm great. How are you?
Is this Donnellan?
This is Donnellan, yes.
Donnellan Andrews. I love that name. I've never heard that name before, Donnellan.
Donnellan is my mother's maiden name, and I go by the nickname Donna. But Donnellan is my official first name.
You were awarded $10,000 for examining an insurance contract by reading the fine print and showing that there's stuff in there you got to see. Are you a lawyer by trade or something? How would you know to even look through there?
Well, I'm actually a graduate of the University of Georgia, and my major was consumer economics.
Okay.
And so I was trained early on to make sure that you read all the document and make sure that you know what's covered, what's not. Consumer aware, consumer beware.
And for the last 25 years, you've worked as a home ec and consumer sciences teacher at a school in Georgia. And you teach senior students important life skills, work ethic, finding jobs, how to interview and stuff. But nobody reads the terms and conditions. I think you could make a bazillion dollars if you would agree to read ours.
Okay, well, I might have a job upon retirement May 31st.
I'm telling you.
Oh, May 31st. That's right. That's like right here.
Exactly. 52 days to be exact.
Do you have
no one's counting though, right?
Do you have big plans for post-retirement?
Well, I'm going to be a grandmother in July for the first time.
Yeah.
So that's really
welcome to the club. Yay. I'll see you at the meetings. It's the greatest thing. You're going to love it.
This
I can't wait.
Donna, this is a contest that specifically was about reading the fine print. There is a difference between us whenever we agree to something and we just skip it. But this was a contest. Tell us about this contest that essentially from an insurance company said, we'll give you money if you read this.
Exactly. You know, I printed off the contract after I bought the travel insurance policy. And as I always do before I put it in my trusty little folder from my London trip in September, I read through the contract. It was only 7 pages, and a lot of people laugh and say, what do you mean only? But it was only 7 pages. And frankly, you know, this company has done a great job in keeping the legal ease at minimum, because that's why people don't read these things, is because there's so many words in there they probably don't even understand.
He doze off.
And they just... Right, they just kind of forget about it. But this company has done a great job. You know, as a teacher, I have been trained to write things at the 8th grade reading level, and that's exactly what this contract looked like. It was short paragraphs. It was very easy to read. But nonetheless, when I got to the last page, about two-thirds of the way down, there was that paragraph in bold that said, pays to read, which intrigued me, and I read it and did what it asked to do, and luckily I was the first one to send my name in.
All right, so is there something we should look for in the fine print that's a you know, a five-alarm fire?
Well, you should always know what you've signed up for, particularly in any insurance policy, what it covers and what it doesn't. You know, I teach my seniors in high school, you know, as they're leaving high school and going to college and probably signing a lease for an apartment somewhere, they need to know what is covered, what, you know, what will happen if they burn a hole in the carpet. You know, they need to be aware of that. And nothing should be a surprise to anyone. You need to protect yourself. And if you have a problem or a concern, most companies give you at least 24 hours, if not 3 or 4 days, up to 10 days to go back and say, well, I was just kidding. I don't want this contract. And you get your money back.
So you are protected, but you've got to do your homework. You can't just go 6 months later and go, hey, I didn't
right.
know.
Right, it's consumerism at its best, and so many of us, you know, have forgotten that. We just assume everything is you know, on our side, and most of the time, these companies are very good about covering the most important things, but in particular, when traveling overseas, it's always important to have medical coverage, because, you know, my health care does not really cover me if I'm overseas. So I have to make sure I have medical coverage if I'm out of the country.
And if you have questions after you read the fine print, you pick up the phone, you call their customer service department, and you stay on through all the annoying transfers until you get a person that can answer your question. Because you have to.
Exactly. Yeah.
And Donna, not only did you win $10,000, but the company donated money, right?
Exactly. Part of the contest was that they were going to donate $10,000 to Reading is Fundamental, which is a nonprofit provides books for schools. But in addition to that, when I interviewed with them over the phone initially and they found out I was a teacher and how passionate I am about work-based learning, which I teach, and consumer economics, family consumer sciences, they just voluntarily, in addition, donated $5,000 to each of the two high schools where
Excellent.
I work. And, of course, the media specialists in the libraries at each of those schools are now my new best friends.
I bet they are. Hey, enjoy your retirement. More importantly, enjoy being a grandma. It's going to be fabulous. And thanks for being the most valuable person on the planet. We have some prizes for you.
Okay, great. Thank you.
All right, hold on. As the winning continues for Donovan. Headlines in a moment. More with Bridget Gaynor coming up. And Dr. Most going to be on talking about the Alex Trebek case. All on the way on 720 WGN and Steve Cochran Show.
Doctor.
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 And doctor. Well, we miss anyone?
Is Northwestern Medicine BP? Call Dr. Morse right now.
That SpaceX things we were talking about with David Curley got a texter from the 847. I'm watching the Dragon splashdown. My son's part of the mission control team at SpaceX. Very proud of him. Well, that's a cool story. Congratulations, Mom. 741, Dr. Kevin Most from Northwestern Medicine joins us now. Northwestern Medicine, CEH Hospital. Hi, Doc.
Good morning, Steve. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Bridget Gaynor.
Sound a little bit better?
Yeah. I think I'm on the mend here. Bridget Gaynor, I don't know if you've met Dr. Kevin Most.
I don't think we've met.
He is
the most.
He is very nice to meet you.
The most.
He is in charge of a whole lot of doctors. I call it babysitting. He calls it an important job. All right, so here's the deal, Doc. Anytime a celebrity has passed, since you and I have known each other, we've tried to take that opportunity as part of legacy to that person's life, but also as a learning moment for folks on whatever the illness was. And this is a tough one. Alex Trebek announced this week he has stage 4 pancreatic cancer. So why don't you start with what that is?
Yeah, so the pancreas is an organ that's deep within our body, kind of right in the middle of our abdomen, essentially. And it's important because it produces insulin and it produces enzymes that allow us to digest food. So it's cancer in that organ is something that's devastating because it's often found late. But it's one that we're really struggling with, to be honest with you.
What is the reason it's such a tough nut to crack? Because we really don't know much, do we?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you think about other cancers, right? Melanoma, we tell you, hey, make sure you go to the dermatologist and he does a skin exam and he finds something very early and we can remove it. Colon cancer, we make sure that we do colonoscopies, mammography for breast cancer. Unfortunately, there's no test for this. And there's no physical exam that a doctor can do to say, oh, I feel something here. And often by the time the patient starts to have symptoms, the disease has moved from the pancreas to other organs, which is causing the symptoms. And at that case, at that time, it's often much too late.
Yeah, and the symptoms are stuff that could be misdiagnosed, right? Pain in the abdomen, maybe you feel it in the back, a loss of appetite, unintended weight loss. I mean, things like that can be a lot of different things.
Absolutely. So if you, like you said, how many guys have you had, how many times have you had pain in your stomach that's kind of gone to your back? How many times have you kind of just had stomach pain that you aren't so sure about it? The loss of appetite, okay, you might have it for a little while when you have the stomach flu. Unintended weight loss, a lot of people don't even want to say anything because they want to lose weight. You know, fatigue, things like that are all kind of just these generic symptoms. But again, the difficult thing about it is by the time they're having those symptoms, the disease has moved on and it's beyond the pancreas. What we want to do is we want to be able to come up with a blood test, come up with some screening tool that we can find this when it's in its infancy, when we can treat it, versus now where we try to figure out, okay, what are we going to do to extend someone's life?
Is there anything, Doc, most like how there's a BRCA gene and things like that for this, if you have it in your family, a history of pancreatic cancer?
Absolutely. So people that have a history, a family history of it, absolutely there's a genetic component to it. And those individuals you do screen more frequently and you screen specifically looking at the pancreas. The other thing about the genetic issue is the people, the individuals that actually have pancreatic cancer, we're now doing genetic testing on the tumor itself and on the individual because now we're going to have targeted chemotherapy based on what mutation you have that's caused you to have the cancer. So two ways that genetics is playing in. The most important one, though, is if you have a family history of pancreatic cancer, your doctor needs to know that, and you need to start making sure that he's aware of that for screening opportunities.
You know, and a personal note here, Doc, as you know, I have this propensity for blood clots, very sexy words, by the way, and that is caused by, you know, a number of different things, but in my case, we're not still, after several years, positively sure of where it comes from. I didn't realize that if you have a blood clotting issue, your likelihood of pancreatic cancer can go up, and that's one of the early tests that have to be run.
Absolutely. When someone comes in with a blood clot that we can't figure out, one of the things you have to think in the back of your mind, is there an underlying malignancy there that we haven't identified yet? So when someone does get a blood clot for the first time, and it's not like they sat in an airplane for 12 hours, it's not like they did any of the things that we say, well, we can explain this blood clot. Those are the ones that we're going to look at and say, okay, test to make sure that there's no clotting issues with blood tests, but then also what
is there an underlying malignancy that we have an opportunity now to treat based on the blood clot as well?
Doc Mark Harmon, what about just prevention from a, okay, you want to exercise, you want to eat well, anything else you want to throw in there that people should be doing?
Yeah, you know, Mark, it's kind of interesting. You know, when we talk about prevention for a lot of these, it almost gets to sound like you've said this before, Dr. Most. You've said this before because it does come down to things like smoking, obesity, diabetes, alcohol use. Those are the things that we have somewhat control of. We can't control our age. We are going to age, and you're going to start to see more pancreatic cancer cases later. But all those individuals who have obesity, smoking, diabetes, they should be thinking about this very seriously because it feels like every week we're talking about heart disease. Every one of those touches it. Colon cancer, every one of those touches it. You know, you really have to start taking some ownership in your health and say, wait, should I be smoking? Should I be working on what I'm eating and how I'm exercising and controlling things that you can't control, like your blood sugar with diabetes?
This is a tough one. It's stage four is a scary thing. Alex Trebek obviously has a lot of money, and he has the ability to access the best health care in the world. Are people doing things in other parts of the world that we're not doing here?
Well, there are, and it's probably one of the more difficult things. If you remember Steve Jobs, who had pancreatic cancer, decided to get some alternative therapies elsewhere. Here in the United States, people say we might be more conservative than other parts of the country, but we also make sure that we're very evidence-based before we put something through. So there's a lot of clinical trials going on right now. So prior to a lot of clinical trials, if you had surgery, you would have surgery, and then you would be put on a single chemotherapy drug. Now we know that if you can tolerate the surgery, there's a cocktail of four different drugs, and those four drugs now have been able to extend life. So a lot of cancer treatment and a lot of cancer clinical trials are going on for pancreatic cancer, and I always feel that, you know, go with the science and get the smartest and best minds. You can certainly go to other countries where they think that something is going to be working, but I assure you, if it has worked and it's been proven to work, we're using it here.
Is there a breakthrough on the horizon?
I'm afraid not. I mean, I think, you know, probably one of the things that we're really trying to figure out is, do we have a blood test? Do we have some way to screen?
That'll be the next one.
That is going to be the one that's going to be the game changer, because if we can't identify this early enough, you know, Alex Trebek, stage four, he's not a surgical candidate. So now it's going to be chemotherapy, radiation therapy, and let's see how we can go to extend his life. But stage four, five-year survival rate is, you know, 3%.
Can it also be asymptomatic?
Absolutely. It's almost asymptomatic in most people, probably for the initial portion of it. People don't have any symptoms whatsoever. And in those patients, let's say you had a different reason that we did a CAT scan and we find this, it is an incidental finding. Those are the life-saving ones where they didn't have any thoughts or any feelings or any symptoms whatsoever, but we happen to notice this on a CAT scan. Those are the ones where you get a cure, because the surgeons can go in, remove a portion of the pancreas there, and it doesn't allow it to spread. Those are the people that we call, that's a lucky CT.
What's pancreatitis?
Pancreatitis is an inflammation of the pancreas. So the pancreas is an organ, and it can be inflamed for some reasons. High lipids, so if you have a very high cholesterol level or triglyceride level, it can cause the pancreas to be very inflamed. And then alcohol use will also cause it as well. The difficult thing about pancreatitis is it's very difficult to treat, and it can be, I hate to say it, can be deadly as well. But those are individuals that we bring in the hospital. We watch them very closely. We stop them from eating. We do a bunch of things to calm down the pancreas, because the pancreas can essentially dissolve on itself. These enzymes that it makes can essentially ruin the pancreas and cause death.
As you know, Doc, we have a very smart audience, and we're lucky to have these folks who listen every day, and they ask good questions. Here's one. Elevated blood sugar and a high A1C, can that be caused by an infection, a severe infection?
Not usually. Usually a high A1C, hemoglobin A1C is a test that we check for blood glucose for a range of 120 days. So some people, when they have an infection, certainly their blood sugar can go up, but it's usually short-lived, and it shouldn't affect their A1C. So
So the A1C is the one that the diabetics now, we have a much better look at. Instead of you coming in and me testing your blood sugar at one time, at one given moment, we're looking at it as what does it look like over the last 3 months. So an infection should not change the A1C at all. And someone that does have an elevated blood sugar as well as an A1C should be evaluated for diabetes.
And 847, last one here, type 1 diabetes. Just to be clear on this now, because I think you addressed this, does that mean a greater risk for pancreatic cancer?
Well, you know, they're looking at that, and they're looking to say, do diabetics have a higher chance of this? And really, that hasn't panned out,
okay,
because then we would start screening for that. But no, you know, that's... For type 1 diabetes, the pancreas isn't making enough insulin or isn't making insulin at all, and that's why we have to supplement it. So I would not be overly concerned with that patient.
Thanks for all the information, and obviously, if you're so inclined, say a prayer for Alex Trebek, anybody listening, because this is a tough road ahead.
Yep.
All the best, Doc. Thanks.
You got it. Take care.
See you later. That's Dr. Kevin Most.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Bridget Gaynor's here, Cook County Board, Aon, Mom, Butt Kicker. You know, I said I wouldn't talk about politics every moment that you're here, but I mean, there's a very important story breaking, and I do have to bring this to you. Okay. Fairhaven, Vermont.
Yes.
Vermont, home of the great Bernie Sanders. And right. I say the great Bernie Sanders because I just couldn't be more entertained by anyone other than Bernie Sanders. A 3-year-old Nubian goat named Lincoln is the first honorary mayor of a town called Fairhaven, Vermont. They don't have an actual mayor. They took the goat and made the goat mayor. And I swear to God, we got to post this picture. It could be Bernie's brother. The same look from the neck up. Lincoln, with 13 votes, beat out his competitor, Sammy, who got 10.
Was Sammy also a goat?
Sammy is actually a dog.
Okay.
And it's rare when a goat beats a dog.
Right. But goats are
is
really
that rare?
Hot.
I mean, do we have like a lot of history on that? Like, you got a lot of competition over the course
rare.
Of time?
It's rare, Bridget.
I mean, I'll take your word for it because you're an expert.
There's disputed polling. Yeah, some of the polls people don't believe.
All depends who do you. The goat-friendly people did the first poll, and you can't believe what the word they say.
Some say it's rare.
Yeah, some say. Rare.
There's a photo gallery on our website from South by Southwest last year where Michael Heidemann, one of our producers, was there, and he held goats, and there's all these pictures of him holding goats, and it got a lot of pub inside our station. It was mentioned at one of our big meetings. Our boss, boss Todd, brought up the goat holding. So,
well, if it wasn't for Trump, the whole country would have been talking about it.
Yeah.
New sucker. We got a big announcement about this show coming up. Dean, of course, wants to talk about the clown world and Marshall Brodeen, Wizzo, and we'll talk about that. And got a couple more minutes with Bridget, too, before she bails to take on her real life. The Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is where Steve will be next.
Hi, I'm Marshall Brodeen, a professional magician. You don't have to be a magician to perform all kinds of amazing card tricks because it works by itself.
Music is special because Wizzo has passed. The Chicago icon, Marshall Brodeen, died 84 years old. Complications from Alzheimer's. Dean will talk about it in just a second. Birthday today, we need to talk about it, or is it tomorrow?
We have a birthday tomorrow. My stepson, Patrick, is going to be 12.
Yeah.
Which is then 1 year away from 13. That's what I keep saying.
Look at you doing the math.
I know. I'm pretty good at it. But today is the day he celebrates at school, because they still do that.
Well, happy birthday, dude. Congratulations on the big win list.
I know. Can you imagine winning your basketball championship the weekend of your birthday? Like, this is, 12 is already starting off.
I was amazed he could dunk at that age. That, you know, for a kid, I mean, a little white kid to fly like
and
that
not,
is pretty
and not
impressive.
Just the championship, but a David and Goliath type championship.
That's right.
Their team was up against the team. They were underdogs.
Yep.
And they came in the sixth grade basketball tournament.
Are you pitching a Disney film, or did this actually happen?
Yeah, and they didn't win one game last year. Last year,
champion,
his team did not win one game.
See, but the risk here is, will it ever get better for Patrick?
Or you don't want to peak too early.
You don't want to be the girl that peaked in seventh grade. You do not want to be the kid that
peaked
at 12.
You peak at 12, that's nothing but trouble.
Now he's set the
Justin, you're talking to him champion to champion.
I'm a champion, Patrick, and if you're listening, I'm a 3-time 16-inch softball champion. And
nice.
And it's, you know what? You need to own that. You need to understand that you are better than everybody else. And that is...
And rub it in their faces.
And rub it in their faces.
At every moment.
Congratulations from champion to champion, Patrick. And happy birthday.
He tricked his sister when we got home last night. He told her we lost by 1 point. And she said, that's
you deserve that because you tricked me last night and said you lost when you didn't. So she believed the second round loss because we all thought they were going to lose. And then because it's a horrible team with mean parents. And then... But then,
did you forget the part where he's still listening?
Yeah. Sorry. He knows I don't like these parents. Okay. But then we were like, no, he actually won. It was even a boring fourth quarter because we had such a big lead. So, but Patrick did set a pick. That was so cute. His arms pinned to the side of his body. Like,
for the team. I love it.
Yeah. He felt that the team's celebration was a little lackluster.
What, he wanted to go out drinking?
He's 12. He wanted to go to Graders, but it was a school night, so that was shot down. So I was a little upset about that. But happy birthday.
Happy birthday, buddy. My pal Billy Gardell's here. He's going to be at the Improv tonight and tomorrow night and Sunday. He's got a brunch show, a lunch show. He's got two in the afternoon.
Sunday show. The folks in Chicago are good to me.
That's a good room, too.
Yeah, it's a great room.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me back, man.
Good to see you.
I actually performed in this club before Mike and Molly began.
Yeah.
And so I'm getting ready to shoot another pilot with Chuck Lorre in April. And so I figured, you know,
baseball, can you tell us
baseball. The, keep your same socks
us,
on.
Can you tell us what the show is, or would you have to kill us?
No, I can tell you. It's about, I was starting to tell you before we came on, it's a guy who's in Detroit. He owns a compression sock business, which, I mean, what else would I be doing, really?
Right.
And the stress of the business and his brother and sister and mother, the guy has a heart attack. So then he wakes up in the hospital after a surgery, and his nurse is there, and there's a bit of a Florence Nightingale effect, and she's from Nigeria, and they could not be more different. And so the whole first part of the series is about seeing if he can just get her to give him a chance, even though they're very different. Very sweet story.
It's love at 30 days sight.
Hey, man, let's hope.
Yeah.
Let's hope it's 5 years in syndication.
Right, that's what we want.
That's what we're
Here's what we want, 100 episodes.
I'm just honored Chuck wants to do something.
No kidding. That's not like he's had a little success. Come on.
And he could work with anybody, and he's just trotting out of running back with one good knee left. But I'm very, very grateful. So.
I don't know if you want to pitch something extra, but maybe something involving you and me, and we're nerds.
Me and you. What are we doing?
We're nerds
I can confirm nerd.
We're nerds in a laboratory and I don't know. I'm hearing Big Bang. I don't know if they've ever done anything like that. But I think you and I'd be great at it.
That is the golden egg. That one is coming finally to their close.
Was it 11 years?
11 amazing years, yeah.
That's crazy.
I think Mike and Molly could have gone three more.
Oh, I did too.
But
look at Miss Famous. Had to go off and make all her movies.
No, that's not true. That's all internet.
No, we love her.
It was all between
She's from here, as you know.
Yes, Peoria, to be specific.
Yeah, well,
history.
Peoria and Plainfield.
But it was Warner Brothers and CBS that couldn't quite come to an agreement. That's why that ended.
Big mistake.
Not really. What are you going to do?
No.
Well, you can't cry over 6 years. Where am I going to whine?
That's a hell of a run.
I got a buddy in Pittsburgh that's breaking pipes right now. I'm like, I only got 6 years on TV. How cold is it? Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
Who am I going to tell that to?
I think about the way you grew up. It's got to be tough to go home and tell the guys you know how tough your life is.
You know what they're funny about? I don't ever mention that to them, and they keep me very humble. But when I go home, they enjoy my success. Because when we go to ball games, they always have like
tickets, tables, and pick up all the checks.
Always, and I don't mind.
Of course.
But here's where they send me in. Like they always act like you don't need to be bothered. You don't need to be bothered. But then I go, hey, Bill, listen. If you'll take a picture with this guy, I can get a set of tires. So there's always some random picture of me in Pittsburgh near a hot dog joint or a tire joint. Like, hey, how you doing?
That's
great. Got my buddy a deal.
There you go. Why not? Exactly. You just came over from Channel 9. Dean Richards is...
Dean is the man. I just saw him.
Yeah, he's standing by Channel 9 right now.
I'm stalking Billy.
That's all, buddy.
Just stalking.
And
Bridget, our favorite guest
he's the best.
Always a lot of fun to get together.
And Bridget Gaynor's here, one of America's funniest people as well. Oh, wait, no, that's...
No pressure.
Yeah, no pressure at all. Bridget had to do about a 15-minute tap dance on election night because Tony Preckwinkle was late to accept all the congratulations.
It's airtime. That might be the most airtime I ever get, so it was a good day.
Yeah, well, we found out you could improv. All right, Dean. We start with, I mean, it's bad news when anybody goes, and it's sadly not unexpected, but Marshall Brodeen died.
Marshall Brodeen, who for 26 years played the character Wizzo, the wizard, on our WGN Bozo Circus and then Bozo Show later on. He was a Chicagoan, truly one of Chicago's very own. He started off as a magician, started off as a teenager doing magic.
For mob guys, right?
Different functions, among other things. But, you know, he would play private parties. He would play county fairs and, like, you know, state fairs and corporate events. But he loved telling the story of how he used to work at the Magic Lounge. He used to be in Cicero. And it was a joint that the gangsters hung out. And he would do magic tricks for the gangsters. And he, when I interviewed him a couple of years ago, he told me the story of how one mobster, I believe he said his name was the Mooch, something like that.
Yeah,
he
Mickey the Mooch.
A great mobster name.
Mm-hmm.
He did this magic trick where he had a little birdcage in his hand and would make the birdcage disappear. And the mobster said, "Hey, how'd you do that?" And he goes, "It's magic." And the mobster pulls a gun out of his pocket and puts the gun to his head and cocks it and says, "How'd you do that?" And he produced the birdcage and
right.
showed him exactly how the trick was done.
Here you go. Here you go.
Yeah. He goes, "Here." And I got David Copperfield's number if you want to figure out his stuff, too.
David Copperfield has been quoted as saying that it was because of Marshall Brodeen's TV magic cards.
Uh-huh.
That he sold on first on Bozo and then sold them nationally on television. It's because of these TV magic cards that he got interested in magic. And there's a long list of famous magicians who credit, you know, Marshall's magic kits and magic sets and these TV magic cards for getting his, you know, getting their magic career started. But one of the nicest guys that can be, lived in Geneva, Illinois.
You know anything about services at this point?
They have not announced anything about services yet. But, you know, this was you know, just another one of these cases that we hear about all the time when someone who is living with Alzheimer's, as he has been for over a decade, was cared for day and night by his loving wife, Mary,
mm-hmm.
Who eventually had to put him in a facility, the Arden Courts of Geneva, where he passed away. You know, it's just one of these tragic things where he lost his memory and, you know, couldn't remember who his wife was. And, you know, but, you know, she was amazing. As you hear these stories all the time, how difficult, it's obviously difficult to have Alzheimer's. It's so difficult to be the caregiver of somebody who has Alzheimer's. And Mary Brodeen is an amazing person. No word on services yet, but they're asking that donations can be made to Arden Courts of Geneva or to Heartland Hospice or to the Alzheimer's Association.
And I know you'll have more to say about this throughout the morning on Channel 9. We actually have Bridget Ganner's here, and Bridget actually played the grand prize game, Dean.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yes.
That with Magic Arrows, did you get chosen by the tips and tips only of the Magic Arrows?
I think so, although I always think the fix is in for stuff like that, because I'm like, come on.
So what you're saying is your dad got you the hookup?
I don't think it was my dad, but you always think like...
Little Bridget Gaynor yeah. coming from the south side with a dad who's a wheeler.
Someone from the ward office yeah. determined who was going to get picked.
She was already into local politics at yeah. that point, so...
Exactly right.
Might have been that same mobster that Marshall hooked up with.
Exactly.
Yeah, right. Yeah, Wizzo wasn't an alderman at that point, was he?
Well, no, as far as I know, Wizzo was never an alderman.
Now she won the milk carton size malted milk balls. Yep.
Right.
And I believe you still have a closet full of those in Channel 9, don't you?
We do.
And they're just as fresh as they were that day?
As delicious as they ever were. I don't care what anybody says.
So the big question is, do I get a carton of malted milk balls from being on WGN today? No?
No.
Sure.
We gotta
I'm trying to think about your appearance.
You might up your caliber of guest if that's the
you know, is that about me?
Yeah exactly. You know, if we get the malted milk balls for you two, there goes the budget for the month. I mean, come on. What are we talking about? Now, Billy grew up in Pittsburgh. I grew up in upstate New York. I'm assuming
yes.
there's local guys, obviously. There was a guy named Salty Sam in Syracuse, New York. I don't know who Pittsburgh had.
We had for what?
For the local kid show thing.
Local. We had Captain Pitt.
Captain Pitt, well, okay.
He was like the working man's Captain Kangaroo.
And Captain Kangaroo was our guy, too.
The working man.
So the funny is always the offshoots. Like, you know, like I always felt like Chuck E. Cheese was like Mickey's, you know, troubled cousin.
Yes.
You know what I mean? There's always
the guy at Thanksgiving
version.
They hope doesn't show up.
He's just over there like, "I'm smart, too, Mick. I got passed over.
You won't let me in Disneyland. I'll start my own thing."
Well, listen, Dean, knowing how you feel about all of clowndom, my condolences for your loss.
Well, you know what? He was actually a pretty good friend. He and Mary were both pretty good friends. So I'm sad. I've known that this was coming for a while. Mm. Makes it a little bit easier when it happens. You know, there is a certain sense of relief when somebody who has been suffering for so long passes away. But, you know, we're running clips on TV this morning, and I'm laughing my head off. And that's the way he would want it. He would want you to be laughing. He would want you to be smiling. But I appreciate your reverence this morning. I was actually put off a little bit that you didn't interrupt me at any point during the obit.
Well, because I knew.
Like, where's the real Steve?
Normally,
where's my
Billy.
Friend Steve? I need my friend Steve.
I'm familiar with the show, Steve.
Yeah, I know that. But normally when we do memorials,
yeah,
they end up being about us. Right. We turn them into. We even did that. You know, Jack Parr died. We did 45 minutes on How I Knew Carson. You know, so that type of thing.
You didn't mock me once for a duty, duty, do.
No, but honestly, for the memorial service, I mean this, and I'm not going to be there, but for the memorial service, I really hope the entire place does a duty, 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 do.
Yeah, I think you have
to. I'd be shocked if there wasn't something like that happening.
At Mr. Rogers Memorial, the entire
Pittsburgh zone,
everybody sang, it's a beautiful day in the
neighborhood. It's nice.
Yeah. I think you have to honor those people nice. Like that. Absolutely.
You saw the documentary, I said.
I did.
I thought it was great.
Loved it. Should have got an Academy Award.
Totally
Absolutely.
Agree. All right. I know you got a million things to do related to this, but I wanted to make sure you had time to talk about it. Are you on the radio Sunday?
Yes.
With you, Steve, at the Klein.
I know. It's a setup.
Oh,
it's
okay. Setup.
Yes.
I feel like you're.
We're
that's
very
fitting.
Excited about one
do.
Of our yeah, guests on the show. Sunday morning, we'll be at Presidential Towers for the American Lung Association Climb. We have booked as a special guest Steve Cochran, who
very
will
exciting.
Be stopping by the special remote broadcast that we have at 9:30. If that's not enough reason to listen, and God knows that certainly ought to be, we also will be playing back my last full-length interview with Marshall Brodeen, talking about his career, and it's a really interesting interview, and we'll be remembering our old pal Wizzo.
All right, buddy. Thank you. I'll call you later about where I'm supposed to show up.
Are you making the climb? Is that a part of the package?
I had the option either climb the four towers of 2,100 steps or sit in a chair and talk to Dean. I went with the latter.
You
got to make choices.
Bridget, his wife and son are doing the climb, though. So
there you go.
So that's 4,200 steps between the two of them. I think that's enough.
You know, I feel like we overdo it as a family.
I feel like we met the number. Richard, hold on a second. Huge Billy Gardell fan who says he's got to say hi. So stick around. We'll have you do that with Billy in just a second. And more with Bridget, too. Bridget Gaynor's here. Billy Gardell's here. Billy's at the Improv this weekend. Tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday. Do yourself a favor. Go see Billy. Buy extra tickets, even if you can't use them. And
that's a nice touch here. That's our credit theme.
Isn't that nice?
It's a very nice touch.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's Super Joe
good
right
producers
there.
Producers.
Super
there.
Joe
good,
doesn't miss
good
a thing.
Producers over there.
Super Joe, inexplicably, huge Michigan fan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we don't know why. He's from here.
That's strange.
Yeah, we don't know why. We
had to be a family member.
He vacationed there, I believe. He vacationed in Michigan.
And it had that much of an effect. You know, there's other places.
Yeah, I vacationed in Hershey, Pennsylvania. It was close to Slippery Rock. I don't have the jersey. So Richard's on the phone, and Richard wants to say hi to Billy. Richard, go ahead.
Hello, Mr. Gardell. How are you?
Hey, how are you, man?
Good. I just want to let you know I've been a fan of yours probably for about 20 years. I think the first time I saw you was a guest appearance on The Practice. You were a friend of one of the attorneys
there. How about
there.
That?
I played Michael Bottoluco's sidekick. Berluti was his character's name.
How about that?
And wow, yes. That's a great memory, man.
It's a good pull.
A great memory.
And let me tell you something else about Mike and Molly, man.
Okay.
I have it set on my DVR to always have at least a half dozen of them there for me to watch.
Kind. Thank you.
But
man.
The very first season, I could write a thesis on that first season. It is the perfect love story. If they had canceled that show after the first season, it would have been one of those things where for years people would have said they should have never canceled this thing, because everything from you being nervous about meeting her or getting together with her, the arguments you would have with your partner, the fact that there were all these people who really meant well but were giving both you and Molly this horrible advice about how to deal with relationships.
Just like a normal family.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, look at this.
Just great, man.
Richard, what do you do?
Good luck to you. I've watched you. I haven't stopped watching you. I even saw you on Young Sheldon a couple of weeks ago.
I've been doing a Young Sheldon. I've done a couple. I've been guest starring. This guy's on top of it.
Richard's got
it. I need a new PR guy.
Got to be your new manager.
I'm a big fan, and I'm coming to the Improv tomorrow night. I'm going to be there.
Ah, beautiful.
Well, Richard, thank you so very much.
Hold on, Richard.
I'll give you a shout out from the stage. Thank you, Richard.
Richard, we're going to give you the keys to Billy's rent-a-car, too, so hold on a second. At 8:30, I know you only got a couple minutes here. I want to make sure we get plugs in. Plugs for the show, first off. You're at the Improv tonight in Schaumburg tomorrow night as well. You know, I don't know show times. Do you know show times?
7:30 tonight. I don't do the late show Friday because my fans don't come out at 10:30 on a Friday.
Well, 10:30 crowd on a Friday night's a bad crowd.
My crowd's 35 to 60, and most of them are married. They're like, Bill, we love you, but it's Friday at 10 o'clock. We're not coming
out. We're tired.
So Saturday's the big night, and we'll do 7 and 9:15, and then we're going to do a 7 o'clock show on Sunday.
That's great.
Yeah.
Where are you going next week?
I am going to be home next week because my son's play for high school opens, and I will be at every performance weeping like a child.
Yeah, I've been there.
I just love watching him do it. And then the following week, I'm going to Las Vegas, and then the week after that, Houston, and then I'm going back to film the pilot.
All right, so pilot season has changed. It used to all be packed into February.
Yeah.
Now it goes all the way into spring. So you shoot it end of March?
You never know when. Yeah, you never know when pilots are going to land. The network still, like Netflix and Hulu and Amazon, those guys go year-round. They can do a pilot whenever they want.
Yep.
Network still kind of from February to May. That's their time. So we'll shoot ours in April, and then we'll get news whether it's picked up or not, probably mid-May, and then, God willing, we're on the air in September.
I wrote for a couple shows in the late 80s, early 90s, and I remember there was a big talk about a pilot we were shooting with Paul Reiser. It was actually right before Mad About You or right after. I can't remember which.
Right.
And there was a big discussion about the $100,000 budget to shoot the pilot. $100,000.
$100,000 for the whole pilot?
For the whole pilot. $100,000 now doesn't get you catering.
No. No.
Right?
I think the average pilot, if they like you, it's probably $1.5 million. That's the average.
Wow.
And I think the newer pilots are probably $850 to $1 million.
Yeah, so. There you go. And Billy's paying for all of it like he does his buddies in Pittsburgh.
Not me, buddy. never produce with your money. That's rule
exactly,
number one.
Right? Not your first day. Go see Billy this weekend at the Improv, and where you want to send him to your website?
I'm so bad at all that. Just go to the Improv.
Google Billy Gardell and follow everything.
Go Improv. I'm terrible at social.
That's
media.
Fine. That's fine.
Go to Improv Schaumburg.
That's it.
They'll have everything.
All right, Bill. Thanks for coming over.
Thanks for always having me.
You bet.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
It's International Women's Day. And, you know, I'm thankful for the women in the room and the women not in the room.
Talking like
and, including you, Mary Vanderbilt.
Oh, thought you meant your wife.
Well, that's the big picture stuff. She's not in the room either.
A lot of women not in the room.
Sandberg and Bridget Gaynor are in
that's
here.
It's a metaphor. Yeah.
You guys probably don't celebrate International Women's Day because you're too busy taking care of men, right?
It does take up an awful lot of my time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What are you supposed to do on International Women's Day?
When I made Catherine's lunch last night, on her napkin, I usually draw pictures, and I put a quote from Tina Fey about doing things your way, because, and then I said to one of my favorite women,
is she her role model,
it's
Tina
nice.
Fey?
It's nice.
No, it just
that'd
was.
Be a good role model, Mary.
I was,
she's funny.
She's a huge television producer, writer. Yeah,
successful.
So, killed it out of Chicago.
Catherine Axe, so I just...
Nice person.
I didn't want to say Happy International Women's Day, but I wanted to acknowledge it.
Does because she's an actress, too.
Does she know that it's Women's Day?
Well, she'll see it on the napkin.
Okay.
But they that, do... Yeah. On Instagram and Visco, they're always sharing the international days.
How many years has it been this day?
In 1975, the United Nations adopted it, and I would like to tell you that's something I knew prior to Googling it.
I was going
to
say, wait a minute. How do you you're so smart, Steve.
It was originally celebrated, and this is bizarre to me, it was celebrated in Russia first. I don't think of Russia being so good with the women.
Well, look, communism, for all of its downsides, there is at least some sort of more mandated quality, meaning it was bad for everyone equally.
Ah, so everybody stands in line for bread. It's
everybody
not just the
suffers.
Women.
Right.
Steve, in looking at the information up for International Women's Day, does it also coincide with a pancake day or anything? You know how sometimes there's multiple international celebratory days on those calendars.
And something else in your life could be distracted with?
Well, you know,
it's International Wiffle Ball Day, too. What do you want from me, honey?
You know,
but this is not a holiday or a distinguished day that is Hallmark, and there's no card that goes with internet. You're not, Carm doesn't have to run out to the CVS and get an International Women's card.
I think we should all get the day off.
Yeah.
It's not a Hallmark holiday. It's more of a corporate holiday. But corporate sponsorship holiday.
I'm interested, Bridget, because you run, you know, both the circles in politics, mm-hmm. but also in the corporate world, equality and the gender gap. We're seeing that play out in positive ways in the mayor's race. Two women are running for mayor. But how is it? I mean, let's talk about the corporate side first. Are you seeing more women? I mean, we see all this lip service for it, but at the end of the day, are we seeing more women rise the ranks to CEO?
Actually, no. I mean, there's 3% of the Fortune 500 CEOs are women. And I think what you see is women come in at 50% or more. It's just like graduate school. And then over time, they slowly kind of their numbers dwindle. And it ends up being disproportionately white males when it gets to leadership. And part of that is people look around and they think, I'm not. Either one or two things. One, nobody in charge is like me, and so my chances are slim. I'm going to go off and do something else. Right. The other thing I think that drives it is I value my time, I know, differently. There's things I want to do. There's things I'm not willing to give my time to a certain degree. And I think sometimes as you move up in the world, people look around and say, like, you know what? I appreciate that there's money and power. Maybe I'm just not that into it. But the institutional barriers are high. And you know, look, people hire people they're comfortable with because it's easy. You know, the whole thing about Mike Pence, you know, the vice president saying, I won't be alone in a room with a woman. If everybody who is above me in the organization at Aon, almost everyone's a man. If I couldn't be alone in a room with them to have a conversation, and our CEO, I give Greg Case a ton of credit. I don't know if there's been someone more supportive of Mike.
This is at Aon.
At Aon, yeah. Than him. But, you know, we'll be alone in a meeting having a conversation. If that wasn't able to happen, I'm not able to rise up because he doesn't know that I know, you know, I'm strategic or you're not hearing conversations. So those types of insidious things where people say that crazy stuff and then it's out there in the world, or people say, well, I don't want to go to drinks or I don't want to spend time with women because it could put me in a bad spot. How about this? Don't be a creep.
Right.
Like that's how about just don't do that. And then everything works out okay. Yeah. You know what's creepy and what's not all right. Don't act like it's a mystery. I don't know how could it go wrong.
You know what the line is.
Yeah.
Yes, the line is obvious.
Put your hand on your male friend's knee, like your colleague?
Well, it depends on the guy.
Yeah, well, I guess it does.
Sure.
A lot of lower back action there? No, it's not. And everyone figures it out.
I think lower back in general. Like, if we just make an international lower back.
No-fly
zone for the lower back of either gender.
Sandberg, you were asking today on International Women's Day, you would think it would be just your day.
Mm-hmm.
It's also National Oregon Day.
Oh.
Yeah, so the people of Oregon are having
women in Oregon are crushing it. Is that what it is?
Okay, we talked about the corporate side.
Yeah. Whoa, I got more.
You got more.
National Peanut Cluster Day.
Okay.
And National Proofreading Day. And I think the one that really, is the one you probably saw coming. National Tartar Sauce Day. This is National Tartar Sauce Day. All of those celebrate the same with International Women's Day.
We talked about my daughter-in-law's birthday. I just want to throw that in.
Oh, happy birthday to her.
Yes, the mother of my two grandbabies.
Yeah, of course.
Happy birthday, Sarah.
There you go. A lot of birthdays today. Okay, so we talked about the corporate side. The political side.
Yeah.
Automatically, on the surface, you say, oh, two women running for mayor. This is great. See, we are an equal society. We are. There are more women winning in different races. We see the young freshman class in Congress, mm-hmm. and it must be equal. Where are we in the political side? I mean, even locally.
Look, it's not 50%, but you can look at Nancy Pelosi, I think, in some ways, this is the moment that she was built for. So she has been, in my opinion, a baller for the last 2 months, ever since these guys got inaugurated.
Love that. After you're the only one on the planet that's ever called Nancy Pelosi a baller.
But she is. That's a perfect word
that's
for
true.
Her. Yeah. And so, and I think, and I was explaining this to my kids, I said, look at, when she kind of outmaneuvered Trump on the whole, you know, State of the Union thing, I said, it's because she's had to figure out how guys like him think her whole life in order to make it through. He's never had to think about how she thinks because he was, you know, large and in charge and running his own show, and women didn't factor into his ability to be successful. So you know, look, there's a lot of assets. You always have to pay attention. You have to be an observer. You have to know how the world, if you're not in power, you got to figure out how power works. Those are good things to know. But in politics, there people tend to trust women. That doesn't mean women can raise the money to run. And it doesn't mean that they're taken seriously for executive offices, which is why two women running for mayor is interesting. Lots of people want to send women to Congress. You're great at getting along with people. It doesn't really matter. You don't have to be, you know, you can be smart. You can be not smart. You're not going to break anything. The executive offices is where it really makes a difference. And there are women across the country. Maura Healey's the AG of Massachusetts, really pushing hard on opioid abuse cases. I mean, there's a bunch of different things that are happening, but the executive offices is where we need to make progress or it doesn't matter.
Right, 30-second answer. Are you, and you, Mary Vandeveld, are you encouraged about the future for daughters? 30 seconds.
I'm encouraged about the future because my daughter doesn't have some of the same ways that I would have never thought. You know, I assumed I'd get married, have some kids, maybe I'd have a job. I didn't put that stuff first. She doesn't think about that at all. She thinks she's going to be hugely successful and maybe she'll have kids.
She can chase her dreams.
And she can chase her dreams. Doesn't think she has any restrictions.
I always thought in terms of how can I do this like a man to get there? And my stepdaughter, Catherine, does not put that qualifier on there. She's like, how can I do this just being me? Mm-hmm. And so I think they're way ahead of us.
Mary Vandeveld?
I don't know. I think everybody, all the girls think that they are a little bit a step ahead than they were before.
Good.
I mean, I think my daughter does as
That's
well.
That's good.
Yep.
What you want to hear. Bridget, thank you.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend.
Absolutely.
And I'm sorry you can't say for our announcement about the show, but maybe you'll hear it because I'm not going to tell you.
Okay.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Breaking news in the mayor's race.
Steve, we're monitoring Lori Lightfoot's appearance at the City Club of Chicago this morning, where it's just been announced that Willie Wilson will endorse Lightfoot in the race for mayor. More on this is going to come out later today.
Who announced that? But did Lori Lightfoot announce it?
It was Ed Mazur, who's in charge there at the City Club. It was announced there, I guess, at the end of her remarks.
I wonder if Willie liked that.
Yeah, because it kind of steals a little bit of his thunder.
His thunder was 5 o'clock at a big press conference.
Yeah,
who's talking out of turn in the morning to be like, and don't tell anybody, I know this is streaming live, but wink, wink.
How about that?
So, it was broken here first because Bridget Gaynor told us that last hour. Yeah. And she said that the all indications what she's hearing it was going to be for Lori.
And then she went out and leaked it and she called somebody on her phone. All right, so for those of you who read Rob Feeder, you already know this news. For those of you that don't, I am proud to say that our friend here, Justin Kaufman, has been asked to reboot Extension 720, the great Milt Rosenberg show, and you will start that in a week.
I will. March 15th, 7 to 10 at night, you guys. I'm leaving the Cochran show. Final show. I'm not doing both.
Holy cow.
I am moving back to nights, which has been, did the download with Pete Zimmerman for three or four years there. And so now we're coming back with Extension 720, and we're very excited about it. I'm honored. I'm humbled. I was a big fan of Milt Rosenberg and was honored to be the person who did his tribute show when he passed last year, And, you know,
Pete will produce it.
And Pete is coming with. And this is something that, you know, we are excited not only to go back tonight, but we're excited to try some new things. And this is something that we are, it's bittersweet, you know, and I enjoy my time here in the Cochran show, and I love the people
I appreciate
I work
what you've done here.
And and to do it at night will be exciting, and we've got a lot of grandiose ideas that we probably can't pull off, but we'll try really hard.
I told you this the other night on the phone, but I think you're the perfect guy to do this.
Thank you.
Something that's been discussed here off and on for the past 5 years, and there was never a real good idea on how to get it done. I think if anybody here should host this show, it's you.
Well, I appreciate that, Steve. And you know, it's like I said, it's bittersweet to leave the mornings. I've become quite fond of you and the crew, and excited for new challenges, but at the same time, sad to leave you and Mary and Dave, and not as much Carm, but Dave.
Yeah.
Joe and Pete's coming with, but
and
I'm not going to miss the 4 o'clock wake up call, though. That is ridiculous.
We can call you. No, we can call you if you want.
The other night I woke up and I felt like I was in like a computer reboot where I sat up and it was like all of the sit-ups at 4:30 came back rushing at you at one time, and I was like, what day is it? I felt like it was a sci-fi movie, and I'm like, I'm not going to miss that, but It's good. It's exciting, and I'm looking forward to doing some meaningful stuff at night.
Texters are saying congratulations, and you'll be brilliant at that.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Well, brilliance, a little pressure.
Yeah, right.
Who's going to sit between two Marys?
I know. That's another thing. We do the Facebook Live.
Well, you're going to be doing the daily digital.
I am. I'm doing a podcast as well.
Yeah. Well, he'll be around, so we'll be able to still continue.
A new podcast that we're working on. It's called Lower Wacker Live.
Yeah.
And that's not a bit. That's actually the title.
That's
of it.
The title.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Congratulations.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you.
Congratulations to Pete.
Thank you, and thanks to all the listeners for.
And by the way, Pete. Pete will continue to tell us about all the weird stuff that goes on in his life and whether or not we ever find out who dropped off fruits and vegetables on his front door. The Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. That's where Steve is next.
With equipment like this in the home of the future, we may not have to go to work.
Now, from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
In the 21st century, it may be that no home will be complete without a computerized communications console.
It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Donald Trump says he feels really bad for Paul Manafort. It's a tough time for Manafort. Manafort got very lucky yesterday. He got less than 4 years with 9 months served so far. It takes him down to about 3 years total for stealing about $150 million and being a really bad guy. Now, next week, there's another sentencing in Washington, and a district judge there will sentence him for different crimes. That has a max of 10 years, and he'll probably get the bulk of that. So he's certainly not off the hook, but he certainly got lucky yesterday. The projection could have been for 19 to 29 years. The inside money was maybe 10, and he got just under 47 months total. And afterwards, almost begging for a pardon when his lawyer came out and said afterwards, and by the way, just so we're clear, no collusion.
No collusion.
Which had nothing to do with the trial, nothing to do with the charges.
Do we know yet if on the other charge, because that's a could be a 10-year prison sentence, if that would be a concurrent or the kind of
thing? Up to the judge.
Up to the judge?
Yeah.
So they could stagger it in the way that he does 4 years plus whatever he
could
gets.
Could go consecutive. Yeah.
Maybe they work together. They're like, let's do some math here. 4 plus 7, 11 years. Like, there's a lot of things that can happen still.
A lot of things the president could feel bad for, but he feels bad for Paul Manafort. So, look, everybody's entitled to their feelings.
It's just white-collar crime. That's what Giuliani said yesterday.
How about that?
It's just a white-collar crime.
How about that quote?
Why is he being treated this way?
Let's talk about something good here, shall we? With International Women's Day being today, the JCC Chicago's Film Festival is happening through the 17th. And this year's festival has 43 films across the city of Chicago and suburbs. And I would say, as we welcome Addie Goodman in, all strong women are featured.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. How are you?
Absolutely.
Nice to see you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Let's talk about what you're doing here, this film fest.
So this is our sixth annual Chicago Jewish Film Festival. We have grown exponentially and with great enthusiasm throughout city and suburbs. We started with 8 films over 1 week and saw about 1,000 people through Jewish film. And this year we are 43 films. Last year we had 12,000 people seeing film with us. We're looking to beat that number this year. Our opening weekend had 3 sold-out showings, and we're looking forward to a robust weekend this year. We have an event tonight for International Women's Day featuring Danielle Galber, who's behind the scenes of so many female-forward TV series and shows on cable networks, and so we're excited to see what she has to say. And most recently, she's done the whole Chicago series, Chicago PD and Fire.
Yeah.
So we're proud to celebrate her and her accomplishments.
When curating the Jewish Film Festival, what's the criteria? Is it just as it says? I mean, is it Jewish filmmakers, Jewish actors? How do you find the films?
So we have a very small but mighty team of staff who are expert at this and have become even more so over these past 6 years. Our criteria is really that there is a Jewish connection of some kind. So it may be a Jewish director, there may be some significant Jewish content in the film or related to a historical event within our history as a Jewish peoplehood. But really, the context of the film festival is that we hope that you will come see a movie with us, and when you leave, you are inspired to talk about it. It sits with you. You're thinking about it. You're laughing. You're crying. That it really stirs emotion. That's what the film fest is about.
So I want to talk about you for a second on this International Women's Day, but also how do we get tickets for this?
So you can go to
gosh, I wish I had the, if you go to jccchicago.org, you'll see a link to our Film Fest microsite. Every single film is listed there. All
if you
the
just start
times.
Typing JCC in Google, it brings it right
it
up.
It does. Yeah. We've had tons of hits on the website this year, so we're excited about that traction. Also, all the trailers are there, so you'll see the movies. You can get a sneak peek of them, and also all the times that they're offered, again, throughout city and suburbs.
You know, on this International Women's Day, it's appropriate you are here because you are the first female CEO in the history of JCC, or at least for the last 115 years.
That's the history of the agency.
How did this come about?
So I've been with JCC Chicago for 5 years.
Okay.
I've had four titles during that time. I like this one the best. I'm going to stick with it for a while.
Sure, you're the boss.
With a fabulous team. We're definitely all in it together at the J, doing what we do best. So I was appointed in this role over the summer, having served as COO for about 18 months. And it's just been a fabulous journey of how we can make an impression on our community and certainly the city of Chicago. We touched 55,000 people last year, and the opportunity to steward an agency like JCC Chicago. We're the largest JCC in North America. And
How about that?
It's an incredible opportunity and really exciting for everybody, the team on the ground, and you know certainly our leadership
sure.
as well.
Leading up to this appointment, were you thinking, I want to be the first female CEO, or were you just wanting to be the CEO and it happens to be that you're the first female doing it there?
So I'll tell you, I've shared this with a few people before. I never really set out to want to be the CEO per se, but I really see the promise and potential of JCC Chicago, and I knew that in this role I could take some meetings and make some calls that could really move the needle on what we're trying to accomplish as an agency. So that's really what's so exciting to me. Being the first woman in the seat is... You know, look, it's exciting as well. I was thinking last night about back in high school when I was part of a very robust science program, which I was not very talented at, but there were only 7 girls between 2 sections, and I was not going to quit that program. And so I think within me, over the course of my life, I've certainly had a drive to demonstrate female leadership, and I look to also inspire others who are looking to make a name for themselves in terms of that same arena.
Yeah, Cook County Commissioner Bridget Gaynor was in here last hour, and we were talking about International Women's Day and the challenge of more women in executive positions, both on the corporate level, but also in politics. Mm-hmm. When it comes to the nonprofit world, which JCC operates in, and do you see any difference to that? I mean, is there still a challenge for women to be at the helm of some of these not-for-profits and these large organizations like the JCC?
Well, if you just look at JCC as a movement, so remind, we're a community center, right? That's our movement. And we're, again, JCC Chicago is the largest within that movement, and we're considered a metro-sized agency. Among those metro-sized agencies, there's only 3 women who run them across the country.
How about that?
In North America. And within all of JCC, it's about 160 or so. I think only 30% are led by women. However, a majority of the staff are women. So when I sit down at a conference, as I was in January, with other JCC executives, all of those appointed in 2018 who are new to the field, I was the only woman at that table. I'm often the only woman at the table in my role today, even in non-for-profit.
Well, here's the thing, too. I think for people that aren't Jewish, who hear Jewish Community Center, which is why it's so often referred to as JCC, they might picture a cute one-building operation, I don't know, in Skokie or somewhere. This is a huge deal. This is a huge responsibility.
So we have about 12 locations across, again, city and suburbs. We also operate JCC Camp Shy, which is one of the largest Jewish resident camps up in Lake Delton, Wisconsin. You know, that number, 55,000, does not happen in one cute small center in Skokie,
right, for sure. Right.
So, you know, for multi-service centers, you know, with everything you would anticipate in a full-service community center to locations that we use in summer only for day camp throughout the city, we're really working to make sure that anything you want to do with the J, you can do wherever you live.
I like with the J.
Well,
cool.
You know, I was going to say, Steve brings up a good point, though, because over 115 years, the JCC has seen different iterations, if you will. As the new CEO and as someone who you have to balance the past and what JCC has meant to Jewish families in the Chicagoland area for years and for generations, and also move forward as communities and residencies and the community changes and moves geographically. How do you do that? Do you have to think about that as the leader of the JCC?
Well, you've caught me at a moment, because today the work that we're really doing as a leadership team and with our volunteer lay leaders as well is to really think about the direction of the agency, how we will have the greatest impact for our community members. JCC Chicago was founded as a gathering place for immigrants. That was really the genesis of the organization. And today, with rising rates of, you know, intermarriage and disengagement and disaffiliation, we're really looking to open our doors as an opportunity for Jewish engagement and a pathway to Jewish life, as well as, of course, welcoming our full community into our centers, into our programs. So we're starting to really have deep dive conversations about what is the lens through which we make decisions about growth and experience. And that's one of the most exciting conversations I've had in my 5 years, for sure.
Well, I think that's an important point, because a lot of people hear JCC and they think that it's only benefiting Jewish people, and that's not the case.
So not at all. And I would say that one of the primary ways that we serve greater Chicago, we have a wonderful program called Jay at School. It's a before and after school care program that operates in 20 Chicago public schools. So we actually just became one of the, I think actually the only provider able to access Illinois Action for Children funds within our program as a provider. So how we play a role in providing critical after-school care services, many of our schools are primarily low income, and leverage the ability to connect families to Department of Human Services funds. That's a critical service that we bring to the greater Chicago area that is not specifically through a Jewish lens, but certainly fulfills our mission of being a community center.
Well, that's Ward Sandberg.
Bringing it back to the females that you encounter and oftentimes being the only woman in the room, a lot of the not-for-profits have boards, and boards are the ones that appoint, you know, mm-hmm. like your position. And a lot of the boards reflect are mostly men, a couple of men. I don't know how many females sit on the board that...
So we're just about 50-50 at JCC Chicago, and we have had two female chairs of our board, mother and daughter, actually, Elaine Frank, who we celebrated her 100th birthday, and she recently passed, and her daughter, Lori Lieberman, was also a board chair, and we're really excited and looking forward to welcoming our third female board chair in the fall, Marissa Mandria, and together we are so excited of what we can do together, a female CEO and a female board chair together for the first time in history.
Keep up the good fight.
Mm-hmm.
And 100 years old.
Yeah, she. Google her. Elaine Frank was a dynamo and certainly a force to be reckoned with.
What a trendsetter, too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Breaking ground that other women couldn't then.
That's right.
Happy International Women's Day, and remind people again how they see the films.
Thank you so much. So please do go to jccchicago.org, check out the films, pick one or two or five that you love, and you'll.
I like that. One or two or five.
One or two or five.
And have a great weekend.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
What's 43 million? That's how many My Pillows have been sold so far. 13 years and going strong. Haven't tried one yet. I don't know what you're waiting for. Carms, do you have a My Pillow?
I don't, Steve.
This is probably why you are having trouble with your relationship with Chelsea.
Oh, is that the reason?
Trouble.
There's no trouble, Steve.
You're such a rabble-rouser. As I exit the Cochran Show, can I just say that? Your bullying of Mark Carman.
That's not
bullying. Chelsea are having a great engagement.
That's not bullying. That's just concern.
Straight up bullying.
She's picking me up right after the show today, Steve. She's going to go to
love each other.
To go to counseling.
We're going to go see it. Well, she's taking me for my toe procedure. That's true love.
Carm, I could never say this before. He's jealous.
Oh.
He's jealous of the love.
What's the toe procedure?
I've got an arthritic right big toe. I'm trying to make a comeback here.
That's the same thing I had. Are you getting some screws put in?
No, he's having an experimental procedure where blood from a monkey is being put into his toe.
That's closer to the truth than what you said, Mary. Yeah. Yes. Blood spinning. We're doing it.
He's Carm, a Lance Armstrong
of
toes.
Like Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
He's going to be in a boot
for a
while. I've
got a giant hammer that might help.
Yeah, and Steve's treatment is exactly right. You take a ball peen hammer, you hit your other big toe, you forget about the one with arthritis.
Yep. That's not bad. No.
Anyway, we're going to get you a MyPillow.
Thank you, Steve.
MyPillow has the patented interlocking fill that adjusts your preferred sleeping position. Hard to describe, but you try it, you'll love it. As a matter of fact, I've mentioned this before, just come by the house. I've got about 500 MyPillows. Just fall asleep anywhere you want. Get the MyPillow 4-pack. Use the promo code WGN. You get 50% off plus free shipping. That's 50% off 2 premium MyPillows and 2 go-anywhere pillows. They'll give you a 60-day money-back guarantee. Sleep on it. If you don't believe they're the best, return them for a full refund. 800-299-9579 or log on to MyPillow.com. Don't forget to use the promo code WGN. So, Carms, I finished the first draft of my Corky the Kicker children's book.
Mm-hmm.
Did I mention I was doing this?
No.
Corky the Kicker is not based on Cody Parkey at all. Not at all. There's nothing even related to it. I wish Cody Parkey all the best. This is a completely separate story, and it's a story about sports. And, you know, since I read so many books to my granddaughter, Abigail, I was just inspired. I thought for a long time about writing a children's book, and I thought this is the right time.
Okay.
So I'd like to read to you, as our sports genius, the first draft of Corky the Kicker. Now, remember, as my friend Brian Regan would say, the way to write a children's book is to keep it small and simple, because he talked about a book called The Clock. The clock, page turn.
Is this a bit of
is on
real?
The wall, page turn. It goes tick-tock, page turn. The clock, page turn, 12:95.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. All right, so if you got a little music for this, Joe, maybe a little mood setter for this?
Is this real?
This is Corky the Kicker, the book. Imagine the illustrations as I go through it, okay? Corky the Kicker was a football star. He kicked the ball straight. He kicked the ball far.
Wow.
Corky was the kicker for our big team. Yes, Corky looked like he was living the dream.
Wow.
But one day Corky kicked and he hit the goalpost. Not once, but 4 times. A record. The most. The coach said, "Corky, this just isn't right." So he practiced all day. He even practiced at night. The whole town said, "Will Corky now come through?" After all the misses, he was certainly due. See how I'm building the drama here?
I need tissues time. Already.
Yeah. Building the drama. Phoenix. But when the biggest moment came, Corky seemed uptight. And sure enough, when he kicked, he hit the upright. Corky was sad. The crowd just booed. All the fans were suddenly in a very bad mood. Wherever you went, you would certainly hear, "I hate kickers." But wait till next year. As for Corky, all we had was a whole lot of doubt. Sorry to say, Corky, you gotta get out. But the team and the fans, oh, we'll all get through it. As long as our next kicker isn't named Blewett. It's Corky the Kicker. The children's book. What do you think? Honestly, give me straight feedback. Straight feedback. Imagine the illustrations. It's not complete yet.
What's the moral? What are you teaching the kids?
The moral is don't hit the uprights. That is obviously
you
the
fail,
moral.
You go.
Yeah, you fail, you're out. So for kids to learn, you get one shot in life, and if you fail, you don't get a second.
$7.95 at Target, Steve.
You like it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
I'm going to buy the audiobook just for Steve Cochran's read. That was really well done, buddy.
Well, and you can see that it has nothing to do with Cody Parkey. I mean, these are separate stories.
Who?
Yeah.
Who?
Exactly.
That's you blew it!
9:30. We'll come back, and I'll torment Mark more about his relationship. But first, we got to get some headlines here, and Steve is standing by with that.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Super Joe getting it done again. Beginning 1 week from tonight, Justin Kaufman hosts the reboot of Extension 720. And as I said in Robert Feeder's column, his blog this morning, Milt Rosenberg will be there to fact check. The ghost of Milt will be looking over your shoulder.
It's such an honor, and I'm humbled to do it. And, you know, it obviously can't be Milt Rosenberg. He's such a star and such a tremendous talent. And this is not, I'm not I'm not milled by any stretch, but I think it's great for WGN. I think it's great for Chicago.
Oh, well, you're going to bring your own spin to it, dude. You're going to bring your own thing to it, and you're going to make it yours.
I think it's great for Chicago because they need a show. I think Chicago needs a show that is going to be a little bit more in-depth, that goes against the grain of where a lot of national media is going. So, we'll see what comes out. We learned a lot from doing The Download, Pete and I, and from doing this show. This show is tremendous. So I think that we'll take those lessons and we'll put something together and go into the lab and come up with some interesting stuff.
So, Pete, I had a chance to thank Justin publicly, and I didn't have a chance to thank you. I appreciate everything you've done for the show.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
And bringing the most valuable person on the planet bit to the show, a bit that I thought was really dumb when people brought it up. Turned out to be a great addition to the show, and you'll continue to book that.
Yeah. How about that?
You're going to have to continue to find really swell people.
I believe the first MVPP, because, that was something our boss Todd came up with, I selected Mr. Peanut because they were, relaunching Planters Peanut, and that's what we talked about. And then you came on the show and took over and actually got people that
real
were doing
people.
Incredible things.
For people that, you and I were talking the other day about this, I believe, but for people that don't or aren't able to listen at 720, if you watch CBS Sunday Morning, there's a reporter on that show named Steve Hartman. And Steve Hartman finds the tearjerkers, the feel-goods, the great stories in America. Mm-hmm. That's the only other place other than the MVPP where you're going to get that. Because the MVPP, we didn't pattern it after Steve, but I would say that's the vibe.
Right, yeah. We steal from Steve's idea.
Right,
and repackage it a couple days later.
Viral segments that everybody should know about. Yeah.
Now, Pete, what I need from you is a commitment to continue to occasionally show up on this show to bring all of the oddness of your life to the audience.
Yeah, I'm in. 9:50 every morning.
Mm. So what I need you to do, Pete, is to be available sometime before 9:50. But let's just go through a checklist here. Obviously, Christmas with Pete, we can count on that?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because based on my contract, I got at least two of those left. And also the produce and the vegetable drop-offs that go on.
Yep.
Now, Justin has a new theory on this. Has he told you his new theory?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
So we started some production yesterday for Extension 720. We were up in Jefferson Park, and I gave Pete a ride home. And he showed me, for the first time ever, never seen Pete's house. So that takes me out of the running as the potential suspect. But these drops are happening on the outside of your fence, not on the inside. And I thought, in my head, that it was happening.
The drops meaning where they're leaving.
Yeah, no, just to refresh, people are dropping eggplants in front of your house and weird carvings.
Marked with anarchy A's.
We've been trying for 8 months to figure it out.
Yeah.
But what's happening is they're dropping them in the planter's street side, the curbside planters that you'll have the trees and some of the flowers and things like that, which to me would... makes me suspicious that it's about you. I'm saying it could be just about the street. It could be maybe a dog died there. Maybe it's a drop off. Dog loved eggplant so much, and Ralphie died there, and so put some eggplant there to remember him. I'm just saying there's other options.
Yeah, I would love it if it
I changed
personal.
My viewpoint that it may not be I hate Pete and I want him dead, so I'm going to put an eggplant on his front.
Well, I have a couple of follow-ups to that theory.
Okay.
Has anyone else of your neighbors, and I know the neighbors aren't fond of you, so they don't talk to you. I'm assuming they talk to Molly.
They're all moving.
So have any of your neighbors spoken of this as well? Like, isn't it weird there's eggplant out in front of Pete's house?
No.
Okay, so it does seem to me, because, it's a better story, it does seem to me that it's still a personal thing about you.
Yeah, and the entire time this has been happening, it's pretty much been in a space about 20 feet, in front of our house. But there was one incident where it was, two houses over.
Oh, right.
So
maybe the eggplant dropper was on vacation and they got a fill-in and they didn't get... Cause as a person who picks Pete up often, even though I know where I'm going and I know the house, I have overshot the house before. Yeah. I have turned early. It gets confusing. So the fill-in eggplant dropper.
Also, Steve, I want to make it very clear that yesterday when I dropped Pete off, I was like, if I was behind Mary double parked, I'd honk too.
No, really, because it is a tight street.
It's a tight street, and I'm like, nah, man, you don't honk. I'd be like, come on! I've been giving the same lip.
So it turned out.
Yesterday, I
turned out
like,
we shouldn't have been hard on the trucker.
I feel like the trucker was in the right.
Yeah, we apologize to the trucker. Though there haven't been drop-offs lately, I also don't find it all that surprising that since you put up the security camera, the drop-offs have stopped.
Right.
Well, yeah. One happened. He just didn't have the camera on.
Right. Right. But these criminals, these famous eggplant droppers, they know how to get around this kind of thing.
Yeah.
And this could be like a pause while they figure out how to hack your camera
mm-hmm.
and isn't make it only take pictures of you in the shower.
Isn't there a light on the camera, too, that you know it's on?
No, there isn't.
Oh, they won't know. No,
it also causes me a little bit of trouble because I can't tell if it's on or not. And there's been instances where I thought it was on.
So your face is right in the middle.
Every time you look at it, it's just you trying to figure out if it's on
yeah.
or not.
That's brilliant. Yeah, that causes brilliant. Some trouble.
Yeah. Well, I just think that one of the things, since we'll have a little bit of time to stretch out on Extension 720, is we'll put together... not unlike like the popular podcast Serial.
Oh yeah,
we can we'll do a little bit more of a deeper dive yeah. and figure out and get this answer for you, Steve.
I think really it's
use
important
the resources of the station.
I think it's important for people to know.
It'll be also be very interesting of the timing of the drops now that your schedule is changing again.
That's
because
right.
this
right.
has been you weren't available,
mm-hmm.
and so now you and your wife will go to the same Orange Theory
we'll
class
the gym,
again.
Yeah.
Now they are available to go with her in the morning. So it'll be that's when you guys would come back and see
right.
the eggplant.
Yeah.
So. Now he can be on investigative duty. You can act like you're going to Orange Theory and then come back around.
Have we explored the possibility that it could be David Plyer trying to get attention?
I don't think we've explored that.
Mm. Yeah, no, I don't remember David Plyer. Yeah.
I'm going to shoot him with a tracking dart today because I have an app for David Plyer tracking darts.
Don't do it today. He's still taking the Martin Brodeen news, the Wizzo news, probably very hard. So I don't
fair wanna... point by you.
Plyer's on tonight, 7 o'clock.
And duty, duty.
Is he?
Yeah. He is. Duty, duty.
No, I think we can get to the bottom of this. I think that there needs to be, first of all, have you brought this up at the CAPS meeting? There's no, you haven't gone to like the community center? There's no community center near that by that you can.
Have you blanketed the neighborhood?
Not a big fan of community.
Have you blanketed the neighborhood with
no flyers?
Flyers,
like flyers,
yeah.
No.
Have you seen this eggplant?
Yeah, right.
You know, is this happening to you?
I should do that too, yeah.
One of those. Or probably on Facebook, they have one of those group boards that mm-hmm. you can join. Like out by me, it's a bunch of moms selling their kids' clothes that they've outgrown. And you can go pick it up on each other's
in
porches.
Your neighborhood?
Oh, yeah. It's called North Shore Garage
Sale. How about give it away?
Oh, no. You can sell those little hunter boots for
$10. Ridiculous.
But it's always porch pickup, Steve.
Right.
So I have to go to their house and pick it up off their
what,
porch.
And then leave money on the front?
No, you do the money like PayPal or Venmo or whatever.
I just feel Chase. If, you know, and where you live, there are little churches in little areas, and it feels like you could do like a 19th century, you know, community meeting where you come like, hear ye, and, you know, say, who's dropping this off?
Yeah.
Why? And get an answer out of people.
I'll dig deep and
maybe
I'll make sure.
Some Sunday after mornings, you've got
to
be working.
At 9:50, I'm yeah. sure to
9:50.
Bring back it. Before, can I say something before I go? Because I brought a little gift for you, Steve.
Oh, you did?
On our last day here for the morning.
Something that you and Justin went in together on?
Yes, we did.
Yes.
Okay. Before
absolutely.
You give the gift,
oh, sorry.
Pete, I just want to say I would like a commitment from the two of you to continue the discussion of if we're wearing denim sitting on the couch at home or not, and if you're going to be continuing to buy your Kohl's denim or if you're going to branch out.
I've got an update for you. The denim that I'm wearing now, which are the jeans I wore at Christmas, there is a rip in them. I found it today. There's a rip in the pocket.
Looks like another trip to Kohl's.
I'm just like, what is this? I can't win.
Your $70 jeans that you got for $10.
Another trip to Kohl's. Hey, by the way, before one other thing before the fine gift presentation, you also brought up how you were trying to kill your wife for the life insurance last week when you made your trip over the dishwasher.
Yeah.
Is the dishwasher gate, is this all taken care of?
Dishwasher gate is taken care of.
That
people from Apt were wonderful. Really
okay.
went to town on the Apt popcorn
night. Good. I'm just glad they brought it back.
Yeah, they did.
All right. Well, thank you for your service.
No, thank you.
Yeah, I
appreciate
it.
A gift.
Right,
is this gift for your birthday, Steve? Next
no. Well, that's true. You guys won't be around for my birthday.
It was actually going to be for your
totally
birthday,
screwed.
Steve, but I was like, I'm not going to be around.
Yeah.
So
notice I'm not saying, oh no, you shouldn't have.
every morning, Joe and I sit in the producer booth and Steve pops in and offers us some sort of delicious treat from
some candy that I've stolen from other offices.
Yeah,
yes.
Be it a Reese's, a Kit Kat, Milky Way, and yeah, I always it's like this is really nice that he does this for us every day. But I'm very I don't like to eat this stuff during the week, so I put it in my little bag, my pouch. And then
I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, I don't eat it every
like a squirrel.
Doesn't eat treats during the week.
I save it during
like
the weekend,
squirrel. Right
for the weekend. But over the past like a few weeks, I've been just I've been collecting them.
Oh, you've collected everything I've given you, and you've put it in a mason jar.
So here are the chocolates that you have given me as a gift. This is a gift.
So you're re-gifting the gift that I've given to you.
Oh,
but that's beautiful, and it's in a bell jar.
Yeah.
Can't believe you gave up the Mr. Goodbar.
Why couldn't you just say Baby Ruth's up in there? Bought him all that candy.
I am touched. Honestly, you know what I thought you were going to say, Mary Vandeveld? I thought I was going to say? You left it in the pocket and forgot it. They've all melted together, and you were going to give me the glob.
There would be a larger jar, but I have to know that there was one weekend of football where Pete's wife wasn't available to help provide him snacks during a bear game.
Oh, I do hope you enjoyed a few.
So he dipped into the Cochran chocolate
I did.
Stash.
Yeah.
I just want you to know this means so much to me, I will never open it.
Okay.
Until you two leave.
And I did cherry pick.
Which
I did cherry pick
minutes.
The good ones.
Yeah, you kept the good stuff. Like a dad on Halloween. Well done by you. All right. And again, let's remind people, starting next Friday night, the new Extension 720 starts at what time?
The show is 7 to 10 when there's not sports. And it will be with myself, Justin Kaufman, and Pete Zimmerman producing, and we're looking forward to it.
And look for a lot of new online or off-air online content as well.
We've got a podcast that we're doing as well called Lower Wacker Live.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
I will remember you.
Awful dramatic.
God, remember, imagine if you'd been on the show for 7 months.
Joe and I have a special bond. Yeah, Super Joe and I, he's not a hugger, but we've hugged a couple times, welling up in the corners.
Based on this song, you've got to start an adoption of animals that have been abandoned
all
in the snow.
All we're asking for is $10.
Mark Carman, is everything okay in the engagement?
Everything's great, Steve. Thank you for asking.
And it's Chelsea asked about me lately.
She's waiting for you to confirm that you'll officiate the wedding, which you seem to be hemming and hawing about.
Not hemming and hawing at all. I'm completely available depending on the date and what else I'm interested in.
Do you need a suite? Because we're negotiating with the hotels. Might as well throw in.
Do you know where the reception's going to be?
No, we haven't figured that out yet, Steve.
Okay, well, again, that would depend on the hotel. I just want you two to be happy.
Okay.
Chelsea seems like a wonderful girl. You're way over your skis and all of that.
Happiness is what we're shooting for here, Steve.
Right. Have you taken any of our advice?
Not really.
Meaning my advice?
I've been trying to listen to Wendy. She's been calling me. But, they had me on their show the other day to kind of harass me. Didn't you, Wendy?
Yes.
Thank you.
I forgot about
Chelsea
you.
Chelsea will be
still engaged?
Right.
She'll be happy to know that after the card debacle of the other day, yesterday, Carm and I walked Carm through how that happened. Like, we went back through it as someone who's been married.
You went through it like a defense attorney.
No, I did.
Like, you were representing him and making up a story.
I was like, well, that might be where your problem was.
Mark deserves some credit for buying the card in advance.
Thank you.
I'm sorry.
Said by a woman who didn't watch her man go sign it in the bathroom?
He signed it, didn't he?
Yeah, he signed it.
I'm with Wendy.
Listen, I just want you to be happy. I don't want to start any trouble unless it's entertaining for the audience. I don't want any issues for you unless it's a good bit.
Right.
I'm
here for the show, Steve. You know this.
Dave's scheduled to be back Monday?
Dave will be back on Monday.
All right.
He'll also be back tomorrow for Wildcats Purdue 1:30 tip at Welsh Ryan Arena. There you go, Bill. Nice job.
Wow. It was me.
Stomach.
Actually, it was Bill's stomach rumbling.
I get hungry sometimes.
I'm glad Dave will be there for the big stair climb Sunday.
Yes, and I will be there too, but not climbing. I'll join Dean on the radio. We'll come back and say to Bill and Wendy next. Go get it. Go see David.
Go see David Hochberg.
Go get it. It's not actually a slogan.
I like it, though. Go get it.
Just do it.
That's good with a swoosh.
Yeah, with a swoosh.
So good.
People would pay attention to that. Congratulations, Justin. We're very proud of you.
Thank you, Bill. I'm going to miss the crosstalk, buddy.
As are we.
Well, you're going to come back at 7 and do it.
We'll still do the crosstalk. We'll come in and do the crosstalk.
Right. Yeah.
But what Steve said is true. Who better to do this than you? You're so equipped for this.
We'll see. I'm excited. It's big shoes to fill, man.
Yeah.
You'll do a great job. It'll be sad not seeing you anymore.
I know. This is one of the great joys of my day is seeing you two.
Will you do...
Listen, I get to come back to to listening. You know, when I was at night,
yeah,
I would always drive my wife to work, and then I would get the Bill and Wendy show. So I was always like, oh, awesome.
Milt was a master of the long interview. An interview could go for an hour and a half or 2 hours. Will you do that
again? Well, it's a different time now. So instead of one or two, we're doing 4 to 5 hour interviews.
Oh, yeah, that's very long. Yeah,
I'll tell you a very quick story so it doesn't take time away, but it does involve Bill. Bill and I, along with Patty Vasquez, appeared with Milt Rosenberg once to talk about stand-up comedy. And it's only Milt can do. After an hour's discussion, he went to a break and said, without any word to us whatsoever, and when we come back, improvisation. And we came back, and in the break, I said, we're not going to improv, Milt. It's not going to happen. We're not going to improv. We come back from the break, and he said, cafe, Paris. Napoleon walks in, and scene.
Yep.
Yeah.
Do you also remember his reference to the Young Comedians? He asked us, he goes, with your younger comedians, your Alan Kings, your Shecky Greens.
Yeah.
We went,
I love it.
Yeah, Norm Crosby.
Right.
he's the best.
Yeah.
We are going to ask you, by the way, one last thing to wear super thick glasses that are way too big for your head.
I know. I'm working it. I'm going to Warby Parker today.
Get it done.
See if they have. Can I get really thick glasses? You don't have those? They're just stylish?
Oh, that's borrow them from John Williams. He just got the new one.
That's true. John Williams glasses. Wear John Williams glasses.
You're halfway home. Actually, he found those in Milt's office.
There you go. It's all a big tribute.
And Pete Zimmerman, I will miss seeing you
so
every
much.
Day, too.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, drop a few more eggplant off. You'll see him whenever you want.
Yep.
You weren't supposed to give that away.
See you Monday.